regular meeting of the Pismo Beach City Council.
Mike.
It is on. Hello, hello? Hello?
It's on now.
Is it on?
Yes.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. The regular meeting of the Pismo Beach City Council of June 6th, 2006 is now in order. It is a little bit late. I apologize for that. It's 4:36, and the first item on our agenda is roll call.
Mayor Reese.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez G.
Here.
Councilmember Higginbotham.
Here.
Councilmember Rabinault.
Here.
Councilmember Natoli.
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is the invocation given by Reverend Bob Banker. And would you stand for that and remain standing for the pledge?
Shall we pray? Our Father, we give thanks again for this beautiful day that we're enjoying, and how could we not be joyful and happy on a day such as this and be able to live in a wonderful community in which we live. And Father, we ask your blessing upon the council that they convene tonight and do the various things that they need to do. We pray as Solomon prayed of old, that they might have a listening ear. We pray, dear Father, that you would give them wisdom in their decisions, strength when they're tired, courage during the times of difficulty. We pray that they might be gracious in their service, and they might be rewarded for their labor, because we realize that they spend many hours in council duties and away from their homes and their families. We pray also that they might be patient with others that they meet, because sometimes the times are difficult. And then we pray for the community. We ask your blessing upon the city of Pismo Beach, and Father, we pray that it might be a very flourishing city and things might be done well. All of these things we ask in the name of the one who loved us more than we shall ever know. Amen.
Amen.
Now let's pledge allegiance to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, Reverend Banker. It's nice to see you this evening. The next item on our agenda is a presentation to the Eagle Scouts, Mason London and Peter Durant. And I would like to have Councilwoman Higginbotham read. Did you have something that you wanted to say?
Well, let me just give a little intro here. These two young men, both of which are graduating Thursday from Arroyo Grande High School, so thank you taking time out of your schedule to come. I had the honor and privilege of attending their Eagle Scout ceremony on Memorial Weekend, and it was beautiful, and I appreciate that. There are very few people that attain the level of Eagle Scout. I think it's 2% of all Boy Scouts make it to that level. So it's really, really quite an accomplishment. And the city of Pismo Beach was fortunate enough to be the recipient of their final project. And they went down and did an irrigation and planting project at the Wedding Overlook at Dinosaur Caves Park. And we are very, very grateful and proud. So thank you so much.
Okay, and do you want to take a minute and introduce your parents, and then I'll be down to meet you. Are they here? Are your families here?
Yeah, that's my dad, Mark London, Julie, my mom, Karen, and that's our scoutmaster, Chris Henry.
Well, we are very proud of both of you. I know it takes a lot of work to attain this high-level irrigation and landscaping project at Dinosaur Caves, dated the 6th day of June 2006. Mason?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. This is for Peter. Is it Dorance? Dorance. Troop 413, Eagle Scout. In recognition of your attainment of the rank of Eagle Scout, the City Council of the City of Pismo Beach hereby acknowledges your achievement as you have shown exemplary citizenship, character development, physical fitness, and service to others by your attitude and actions as an Eagle Scout. The City Council of the City of Pismo Beach does hereby congratulate you for your commitment, dedication, and service to the community for your irrigation and landscaping project at Dinosaur Caves Park, dated the 6th day of June 2006. Congratulations. Thank you so very much. And if you'd like, would you both like to say a few words? And I'm going to step away from the microphone. Please do. I know that everyone would like to hear from you.
I don't think we planned on this, but I guess I just thank some people. Thank my mom, Scoutmaster, and the City of Pismo Beach for letting us do the project.
Yeah, I almost want to thank you guys, because if it wasn't for all of you, we couldn't have gotten our Eagle, because you were the Eagle Project. So thank you.
Congratulations. Does the Scoutmaster want to say anything, or the family? Would the Scoutmaster and the family please stand up? Let's give them a hand. We should be real proud. Okay, the next item on our agenda is public comment period. This is the time for the public to comment on items not on the agenda. And I do have a few cards, I believe. Let's see here. Bruce McFarlane.
Tall boys. Good evening, Council. I have some goodies that I would like projected on the... a couple years ago, due to a proliferation of rental bikes being parked in a red zone and red zones, the city rechanged the ordinance to say that it included bicycles, pedal bikes, any type of... I even have the ordinance. I couldn't find it today. But as you can see, this was taken on Sunday. Now, this is... a city councilman's new business opening up there. I believe that three of you were on the city council when that ordinance got changed and stuff. So I don't think anyone can plead ignorance, maybe stupidity, but not ignorance. It's in black and white, the ordinance. It says bicycles, surreys, all that stuff. Now, what it looks like to me, that it's a council person using his position to circumvent local municipal laws. And I just don't think that's right. If you notice, there's a big, tall sign there. I mean, a telephone pole. And about 8 or 9 feet up, there's a red, maybe... 10 by 12 sign saying no parking. Now, I haven't gotten real close to it, and it may say except for a city councilman, but I really doubt it because I think they're standard no parking signs. Now, maybe convicts somewhere little stenciled it in somewhere, but I doubt it. And so I would like to have all these laws are laws. Now, that's an access road for emergency access to the beach there. And it seems like they're pimping and whoring the city to get rental space. Now, everyone's wanting money here, so let's find a square footage of asphalt pavement and either someone give a fine or have someone cough up the money to the city coffers. Please, and this is supposedly somebody that wants to be a future leader. You lead by example and not by circumventing the laws, cheating, and just being a bad person. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next card I have is Catherine Williams.
I came asking. I want to know. I'm Catherine Williams. I live on Naomi Avenue over in the Spyglass area. And I'm very interested in what happens there. And I understand the city council is.
To that, if by the city that I'm aware of. So I thought I would just check with staff to see if there's something that I was not aware of.
Well,
if I could, maybe I'd just explain the city, both in public session, has had no public session or closed session. There's been none to direct the staff to pursue any kind of negotiations on that parcel that you're referring to. So, no, ma'am, there's no direction to do that.
Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that, because I would like to say, over the years, I'd like to see the dignity to continue for this body. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay, the next card I have is Brahma D. Sharma. Dr. Sharma.
Good afternoon. My name is Brahma D. Sharma. I reside at 610 Vista Pacifica Circle, Pismo Beach. Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, Council members, staff, fellow residents, fellow attendees in person and those viewing at home, and the press corps. This is an opportune time to refresh us all the ballot measure that let us have Mayor of City of Pismo Beach, but today happens to be an election day. I thought it would be worthwhile to refresh our minds what the Pismo Beach Bear means. I read from the resolution number R0383 adopted by Pismo Beach City Council for ballot measure. The ballot measure had three options. Shall the electors elect a mayor commencing with the election in November 2004? Shall the term of the mayor be 2 years commencing with the election in 2004? Shall the term of the mayor be 4 years commencing with the election in 2004? The first two options were adopted. So we have a mayor as per those measures in the ballot. Please notice that the word mayor has no prefix or no suffix in that measure. No powers or duties were determined by the electorate to affirm. The duties and powers are to be found in the Municipal Code 204-160 and 204-170 in force as of today. I read to you now this particular measure of the Municipal Code. The mayor shall be the presiding officer at all meetings of the City Council. In the absence of the mayor pro tempore shall preside. In the absence of both the mayor and the mayor pro tempore, the city clerk shall call the council to order, whereupon a temporary presiding officer shall be elected by the council members to serve until the arrival of the mayor or mayor pro tempore or until adjournment. Wherever in this chapter the term mayor is used, it shall apply equally to the presiding officer as defined in this section. It is abundantly apparent that the mayor has no more powers than the other council members other than who preside over these meetings and sign documents. In fact, has responsibilities to conduct the meetings responsibly without exerting undue influence and purpose of evasion. I have purposely not read to save time the powers and duties as given in section 204-170. My main point is to point out that this city council as a whole, five of you, are on equal footing. The mayor simply presides in these meetings and does not in any form or fashion present herself or himself as a person representing the body itself, unless the council so decides. Note, a council member acting as a presiding officer in the absence of the mayor, elected by the electorate, takes on the position as mayor. That's a very interesting point to notice. For the period till the elected mayor appears
your time
or
is
adjournment.
Up.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next person I have is Mike Lebo.
Well, hello. I wanted to come back and report to you about the Destination Imagination competition that you so generously contributed to. Interesting results. Our kids in our area are kind of used to being in the top five, and that quite didn't happen in this competition, but other interesting things did that will let you show how the program affects the kids. The younger kids from Ocean View, the third grade team, tried something completely new. And then as soon as the competition began, they kind of forgot what the newness was and recovered in midstream and ended up taking 30th out of 60 teams, which is pretty good because they were going up against fifth graders, so 2 years older. Our Judkins team had a whole different kind of problem. They had spent 4 months constructing this device, which one of their members could fly. They spent 3 months building it, figuring it out. We shipped it UPS Beach logo on it because we just love the city of Pismo Beach.
Thank you very much. Congratulations, really. Even with the hardships that you can see, they just managed to just pop right up. I really am proud of them. Oh, these are just beautiful. Thank you. Now, I wanted to put it on.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank all of you.
Very beautiful. Thank you so much. Okay, I have no more cards. I have one card here, and I think somebody wants to speak to the appeal that we have. And Robert Cram, I think you want to speak to the appeal. Okay. Is there anyone else that we're not here yet on the appeal? The appeal is item 5D.
Oh,
okay, that's fine. I just thought maybe you might have made a mistake. Okay, that's fine. Step right up. Give us your name and your address, please. Thank you.
My name is Robert Cram. I live at 861 Tulare Street. And thank you, Madam Mayor and City Council people, for the meeting and letting me speak. First out of the gate, I love Pismo Beach. I just love Pismo Beach. I went to school in San Luis Obispo back in the early 70s, and at that time I thought if I could ever get back to live on the Central Coast, I'd love to come back to live on the Central Coast. And so in early 1990, my wife and I came back from the Pasadena, Monrovia, Duarte area, San Gabriel area of Los Angeles, and came back, and we've been here since 1990, living up on Tulare Street. And everything about the city I like. There's nothing I don't like about it. When I drive in from Los Angeles, coming up from Santa Maria, and seeing the wide open spaces, I like that. And I think that's one of the drawing cards of Pismo Beach, is people are tired of all the congestion, all the graffiti, all the smog, all the congestion, all the graffiti, all this. And when they come to Pismo Beach, they've got this wide open expanse. They go, oh, I can breathe again. And the reason for all this is I'm a resident. I'm not an owner of downtown property. I can see where downtown property, the downtown needs to be brought up to snuff. There are a lot of areas down there that could be more suitable for Pismo Beach. But I would strongly suggest that we, I know we talked about that, or the City Council and the Planning Commission talked about that before, is that make a plan and then stick with it. Make a plan and stick with it, and don't let commercial or developers come through and say, well, let's just do this on a case-by-case basis because I just need to bulk it out in order to make it financially feasible to make the project work for me. And people come and go. The City Council comes and goes. People get elected and are not elected, and the Planning Commission gets elected and not elected. And if we don't have a plan to stick with it, then there will be this little wiggle room that gets in there, and I would prefer that not to happen. I took an assessment from the wastewater treatment plant. I like that. I like the shopping outlet there. I like the going along Shell Beach Road. But I do know that every once in a while, something will get through the Planning Commission and almost get to where it needs to go with just a little bit of wiggle room. One was the project up in the Heights where perhaps the city zoning map was misread, and there was almost some very large houses going to be developed there, until one of the Pismo Beach residents brought it to light that, no, that was not allowed in that area, and that program was dropped. On Price Canyon, there's a new development going in, and I attended the meeting on that to find out what it was about, and the developer had said, well, we just need to go above the building height, maybe 5 or 10 feet for the buildings or 5 or 10 feet for the walls. The streets we want to be 20 feet. I thought, wait a minute, how wide is Tulare Street? Tulare Street's 37 feet wide. Why would they want a street to be 20 feet, except they feel the need to bulk out in order to make it make financial sense? So that's all I have.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cram. Okay, is there anyone? I have no more cards. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak on an item not on the agenda? Seeing none, then I'll go on to the next item. The next item on our agenda is City Council comments. And I just wanted to begin myself this evening just to talk about our last meeting. I thought it was a very good meeting that we had with the Planning Commission. We had an opportunity to give the Planning Commission some of our ideas. The Planning Commission had an opportunity to give us some of their ideas. And I think that we gave some good direction. I think that it also gave the Planning Commission an opportunity to hear the public, and they can keep those things into consideration when they do look at their future projects. And we did
certain things. Do we have a list of the parks involved and which parks are actually charging to use their facilities for public use?
Yes.
Does the staff have a response?
We have a list, and I can provide that with council.
Yeah, I'd like to get that list. Yesterday, I saw Chumash Park was just loaded with cars and people down there, really enjoying themselves. Mm-hmm. So I just hope that they didn't have to pay to use that park.
I can give you the council a list.
Okay.
Did you have anything else?
No.
Okay. Councilman Rabinow?
Yes, Madam Mayor. Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. It's good to be here and good to have all of you tuning in, and certainly in person as well. I'd just like to make a brief comment. I'm so sorry that Catherine Williams had to leave. As many of you know over the years, I have talked about neighbor against neighbor, that sometimes it has to come to the Planning Commission in order to try to resolve issues. It comes to the City Council trying to resolve neighbor-to-neighbor issues. You know, I've taken it upon myself. I know that Rudy has taken it upon himself, and I know that Arlene has taken it upon herself to talk to these neighbors. Whether the issue be trees, I've offered on many occasions up in the Heights that, you know, gee, if the tree in front of you is blocking your view, please ask me to come. I will do as best as I can to get you folks together and to try to come up with a resolve. And I've done that as well over in St. Anne's Track as an example. I have met with Mr. Yandow. I have met with Catherine Williams' nephew, Dave Williams. I have met with these people trying to resolve an issue amongst themselves and have neighborly conversations. We came to a point, I just couldn't go any further, and so consequently it will be going back to the Coastal Commission. But, you know, that's what council should be doing. We should be out there interacting with the public. Yes, as the good Reverend said this evening, it does take a lot of time away from our families and those types of things. But you know what? If you don't want to do it, then don't become a city council person, because that is part of our responsibility. So I wanted to thank you all for allowing me to say that. You know, with reference to the downtown core, guess what? I'm the councilman with the bicycles. Did anybody doubt that for a minute? You know, there are issues in the downtown that specific ordinances don't address. But what I'm more concerned about, and certainly will move forward, I've talked with our city manager and others about code enforcement and how those issues are going to be coming about. So I'm hoping certainly at mid-year budget we're going to be able to do something like that. You know, I don't know why people have to call people these names that they do, but as you've all noticed, I've learned my lesson, and I'm not calling them back. So I hope that you will all forgive me. If I need forgiveness, I don't. Thank you. The last thing that I want to say is that, you know, I'm getting as big as a house. I sit in front of my computer. I don't do enough. What I'm going to start on a daily basis is at 9:30 in the morning, I'm going to start walking the pier. I don't know if any of you had the privilege of living here when Neb Eldwain was our mayor, wonderful mayor. He did the same thing. He walked the pier every day. But you know, I'm going to do it a little bit different. I'm going to invite every one of you out there that if you have an opportunity, want a little interaction with one of your council people, want to lose some weight as I do, all you have to do is give me a call the night before, because I do have commitments and I may not be able to do it every day, but my home telephone number is 773-4473, and I'm going to work at this in earnest. I need to take better care of myself, and now's the time to do it. So thank you all for listening to me this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Higginbotham.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. First, I want to say congratulations. We've had a young woman by the name of, Sarah Cousette. And she's been interning with the Parks and Recreation Department now for a year and a half. And she graduated from Cal Poly last week with her degree in recreation. So we want to say congratulations to her. And I just have one request that I wanted to ask my fellow council members. I was wondering if you would take it under consideration to modify our agenda a little bit, and if we could consolidate our council comments with our subcommittee reports, because it's somewhat redundant to have council comments and then come back and report on our subcommittees, and if we did it all at the end of the evening.
He's from the Clam Digger Hotel, and he talked about how he was evicted on Mother's Day. And I just wanted everyone to know that the owners of that property aren't that big of meanies that it was projected, because they did go back and they are working on finding them housing. So, and I really appreciate that of the owners. And then the other thing, today is Election Day, June 6th, but also I'd like everyone to remember June 6th, 1944. This date is very significant to all Americans. I mean, we lost so many lives of men, I think not women at that time, that gave their lives for our freedom. So, it's referred to as D-Day, and I'd like everyone just to remember those lives that were lost for our freedom. And that's all I have, Madam Mayor.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, with that, the next item on our agenda is the consent agenda. Is there are any items that any of the council wants to pull? Hearing none, then.
Hang on. Yes, I'd like to pull item 4C.
Okay. We'll hear that at the end of the agenda then.
Okay.
Is there any other items that the council wants to pull? Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion for the balance of the agenda items.
I'll make the
consent
motion.
Agenda items.
Got it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve items balance. 4A through 4I, with the exception of 4C, which we'll hear at the end of the agenda.
Councilmember Natoli?
Yes.
Councilmember Rabinal?
Yes.
Councilmember Higginbotham?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-G?
Yes.
Mayor Reese?
Yes.
Passes 5-0. Thank you.
Okay, the next items on our agenda are public hearing items, and the first item is item 5A. Mr. City Manager, I'll start with the staff report.
They're scheduled for 5:30.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 5A is
it's 10 after 5. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Sorry. It's 10 after 5. Normally, we start a public hearing items at 5:30. And so I would take a business item next so that we can wait till 5:30, because that's how it's advertised, and I want to make sure the public has an opportunity to arrive to hear those items.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 6A is the Fire Department's quarterly report that was to be given by Chief Harkness.
Okay.
Unfortunately, Chief Harkness is still at a court case that's going on in San Luis Obispo Court all this week. He will be here later in the meeting, but as I say, he's still at court, so we can't do business item 6A at this time. So we could go ahead and take a 15-minute break.
Well, I was wondering, could we move our closed session to this space, adjourn this meeting, go to closed session?
That's certainly possible. You also have, if you're going to go down the agenda, you do have the pulled consent agenda item that you could do as well. So it's up to the council how it orders the agenda.
I understand. I think that I would like for us to adjourn this meeting, go to closed session, and then we'll come back in for our public hearings.
Great.
And
that's great.
We are hereby adjourned. We will return at 5:30.
Madam Mayor, would you like me to make the closed session announcement?
Please.
Pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8, the City Council will meet in closed session for the purpose of discussing real property negotiations on property book 5, page 271, parcel 06. The agency negotiator will be Kevin Rice, City Manager. Negotiating parties, Southern Pacific Railroad, and under negotiation will be the price, terms, and payment or both. And suggest if there's any public comment on this, the council take it at this point.
Okay. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to make a public comment as regard to our closed session? Seeing none, we will go to closed session. Okay, we're back in session. There was no reportable action from our closed session. And the next item, Mr. City Manager, is 5A.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 5A is an ordinance on secondary dwelling units. This was discussed and had a public hearing at the last council meeting. I'd like to ask Randy Bloom to discuss this a little bit. Randy?
Thank you.
Excuse me, Madam Mayor. I need to recuse myself because I still have a conflict of interest on this item.
Okay, thank you.
Tonight, you have a public hearing to review the second reading of the ordinance. And this public hearing is a little unusual in that typically a second reading of the ordinance is on the consent calendar. Mm-hmm. What happens is with the first reading of the ordinance, changes are made. The council adopts that, introduces a first
Could
reading.
Could you speak into the mic? I think people have trouble hearing you out there.
Okay. The typical process on an ordinance is that we conduct a public hearing in front of the City Council. The City Council adopts that and introduces the first reading of the ordinance. Then when it comes back for Council for the second reading, it's typically on the consent calendar. However, during the period of the first reading and the original public hearing notice, the Coastal Commission requested that we post a second public hearing for the second reading because they've decided to have a parallel notification list created, and typically we notify all the state agencies through the state clearinghouse. We send in one notice and the state disperses it. The Coastal Commission decided they want personal notices sent out to some of their agencies. So we have done, and we've corrected our list of of noticing. So in satisfying the Coastal Commission, we've advertised a second public hearing. Last council meeting, the council adopted the new ordinance, and some of the changes, let me refresh the changes that are in that ordinance is, on the second dwelling unit ordinance, is that all lots above 10,000 square feet would be allowed a 1,200 square foot second dwelling unit. Lots between 5,100 square feet and 10,000 would be allowed a maximum of a 600 square foot unit, and all lots under 5,000 square feet would be prohibited from second dwelling units. On top of it, the council from Stratford up in the Heights exempted the Heights from allowing second dwelling units. And the final component is the council made a ruling that that there shall be an owner occupancy of the unit, one of the units. What that done was that placed a management size in comparison to the lot size, and it also provided for the issue of the heights, and it provided for a better management tool of those second dwelling units. And that's kind of the overview of the changes. They've been incorporated into the ordinance, and staff is recommending the council adoption of the ordinance, and that we forward the local coastal amendment to the 83 ordinance to the Coastal Commission. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay. Does the council have any questions of staff?
You know, I had one question, Mr. Bloom. It says parcel size of 5,001 square foot. Mm-hmm. That we have approximately 3,929 lots.
Mm-hmm.
Of that size. I thought at the last meeting when I asked you, you said we had very few lots that were that size.
What we did was we took all the lots in town.
Mayor, council, staff, I'm Barton Denon. I live at 950 Visalia Street, and I'm here again this evening to ask you again to vote for those amendments in that package. I think together they form a very good compromise on the scale of people and their opinions of secondary dwellings. I think you will see people that would like to leave the door as wide open as the state allows, and I would imagine there are people that would like to see that door shut completely. And I think what you skillfully arrived at in almost a compromise last time, 3 weeks ago, is right in the middle, and something I can live with. My neighbors seem to think it's great. And so in advance, I will thank you for your vote.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item? This is a public hearing. Please, would you state your name and address, please?
Hi, council members, mayor. My name is Rena Sheldon, and I live at 990 Visalia Street. And I want to ditto Barton's comments about, I think what you've come up with is something that is livable. I also would like to reiterate what I said at the last council meeting, that I don't like the idea of a whole bunch of secondary units, especially up on the hill where I live. And I happen to live on one of the large lots in town. I have 17,500 square feet. So I am actually building myself out of the possibility of putting a secondary unit on my lot by saying don't approve up there. And Mr. Bloom, I think in regards to the question that you were just asked about the number of estimated lots, it was my understanding on the last council meeting that the number of lots before, you know, 5,000 feet, square feet or lower, and then but we allowed the 600 square foot, and then 5,001 to 10,000 were allowed the 12,000 square foot. And Mr. Bloom had estimated that there were very few lots over 10,000 square feet. So I mean, I'm either confused, or I guess I'm asking for some clarification. In a way.
Okay, what we amended in this ordinance is we said that nothing under
over 600 square feet would be built on lots 5,001 feet and above. Anything over 10,000 square feet, they would not exceed 1,200 square feet.
Okay.
Second dwellings.
But in terms of the number of lots that are out there.
Okay.
I guess I don't have anything else
to say. Would you like
to
answer that question, please?
Let me kind of regroup and explain it. The current ordinance doesn't allow a second dwelling unit for on all lots of 5,000 square feet and less. On lots 5,000 square feet and 1 square feet to 10,000 square feet, you're allowed a 600 square foot secondary dwelling unit. Those lots above 10,000 square feet, you're allowed 1,200 square feet. We did a run of how many lots are 5,001 square feet and larger in town just to see how many lots are. There's very few lots in town that are above 10,000 square feet, and so that might have been a little confusing. What we did is we wanted to make a little litmus test of how many lots in town could you build a second dwelling unit on, and that's kind of the exercise we did.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, I thank you, and I applaud where I think this is going. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item before I close the public hearing? Okay, the public hearing is closed. We'll come back to the council. Is there any discussion? I was just going to ask the council for a minute to think about the possibility of maybe going to 850 square feet for lots 5,000 square feet to 10,000 square feet.
Well,
not to exceed.
Well, my feeling, of course, as I think I made it perfectly clear, is I don't believe that this secondary unit ordinance is restrictive enough, and I'm not going to dwell on that. Okay. I would like to also commend my fellow council people. This is, I think Barton was absolutely right. There are those that want none. There are those that would like the door left wide open. A lot of work has gone on to this, and we have compromised. We have come into some place in the middle. I won't support the 850 because I still think it's not restrictive enough. So where we are today is best as I can do personally. So thank you, though, and thank the council very much.
I did have some phone calls from some people who would have liked a little expansion of that to 850 square feet. So
Councilmember Rabinal?
Yes.
Councilmember Natoli?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez G?
Yes.
Mayor Reese?
Yes.
It passes 4-0-1. Thank you.
Okay. And the next item on our agenda is 5B.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 5B is a public hearing allowing property owners here in the city to protest the declaration of their properties as non-compliant for weed and rubbish abatement. Fire Chief Lewin here is introduced. Rob Lewin is here to introduce the staff report. Rob.
Thank you, Mayor, Council members. The item before you is a protest hearing which allows any citizens who are identified by the fire department for not complying with the city's weed abatement ordinance by June 1st an opportunity to protest the notice of violation. We concluded the second inspection today, and then we will send out a second notice of violation stating that a city contractor will cut the weeds and the cost will be assessed on the property taxes. But we have 46 lots that were identified as needing abatement. This protest hearing offers an opportunity for the citizens to dispute the notice and for you then to make a ruling on the individual's protest. If you rule in favor of citizen, they will be removed from the list of lots in violation, and the city contractor will not abate the weeds. At this time, we have not received any correspondences from any citizens disputing our notice. A staff recommends that you open the hearings and allow any citizen present wishing to make a protest to come forward. Staff has posted, staff has a map, and we also have handed out a Excel list for you of the lists that the new list that we completed today. Of that list, there are some city lots on there that are naturally or normally abated by the city contractor.
Okay, does the council, any of the council have any questions of staff? Okay, seeing no questions, I'll open the public hearing. I have no cards for this item, but I will open the public hearing. Is there anyone that would like to speak on this item, on this public hearing item? This would allow anyone who is on this list to protest. Seeing none, I will come back to the council.
close the public hearing and back to the council. Is there any comments, discussion? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Do we have to make a motion? I don't think so. Take action as necessary.
Okay, would you please read the motion? What the motion would be?
To declare properties as non-compliant for weed and rubbish abatement.
Okay. We have a motion. Do we have a second? We have a motion and a second.
I'm sorry. Who made
we have a
motion.
I did. Councilwoman Higginbotham and Councilman Natoli.
Thank you, Mayor. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you to the staff. Good job. Thank you. The next item is item 5C, Mr. City Manager.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 5C is a resolution of the Council concerning Rule 20A funds or credits for undergrounding utilities here in the city. This has come up in some discussions in the community improvement group and from other individuals in the community, and we thought it would be appropriate this time to bring this forward, explain the process of what this Rule 20A is so that everybody understands what these credits are, how they accumulate, and then what we can do with them. So with that, I'd like to go ahead and ask our Director of Public Works, Dennis Delzeit, to give the staff report.
Mr. Delzeit.
Thank you. This is a public hearing item. And first, what I will be doing is giving a verbal report. Then would ask that a public hearing be open to take testimony from the public. And after closing the hearing and conducting council discussion, if the council wishes to proceed, and this would be the first step in the procedure to get an underground utility district established, then it would be appropriate to adopt a resolution approving the establishment of a Public Utilities Commission Rule 20A undergrounding utility conversion project. First of all, a little background. The Public Utility Commission requires all electrical utilities in California to set aside funds each year for undergrounding of existing overhead utilities. The program requirement is commonly referred to as Rule 20A. And in accordance with this rule, funds have been set aside for each jurisdiction. And I would like to emphasize that the money that's set aside for Pismo Beach is only Pismo Beach's money. It cannot be used for any other jurisdiction other than Pismo Beach. The city has a potential fund of approximately $1 million to be able to use for undergrounding. And city staff, specifically Brian Duncan, our associate civil engineer, has been conferring with PG&E staff, and he has been informed that it appears that we have enough money to begin an underground district. If the council PG&E would begin any Rule 20A work anywhere in the state, would be January of 07. But we've also been advised that they would probably not be able to begin engineering work if the council tonight wished to proceed until mid-2008 at the very earliest, providing that this resolution is in place. We had hoped that a PG&E representative would be here tonight in the event there may be questions from council, but their representative was unavailable. I'd like to go back now for a moment about the location. Looking at the first two priorities that I mentioned, Price Street in the Motel District area and Shell Beach Road from Spyglass to Seacliff Drive, it appears that an area that has not been identified in the general plan but makes a lot of sense is the Shell Beach Business District. And if the council wishes to proceed with including that area, one option the city may wish to consider is just identifying the area as starting at Spyglass and ending at Dolliver. That would take it clear through that area. Now, I'm sure the council has noticed that some of this portion of the area has already been undergrounded, mm-hmm. and some of it hasn't. So, obviously, this would only pertain to undergrounding of the areas that are still overhead. So I did distribute a copy of an amended resolution that has red print that shows the changes. If the council wishes to pursue this option, it was discussed with our city attorney, our community development director, and our city manager. And you'll note here, I'll read it for the audience, we did distribute a few copies at break time to interested people in the audience as well. That the City Council has determined that the preferred project limits be Shell Beach Road from Spyglass Drive to Dolliver Street, and hereby direct staff to begin processing of all necessary general plan amendments to conform to these project limits. That way we're totally in sync with our general plan. So I don't have any additional information to present, but I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, is there any questions from the council?
No, Madam Mayor.
Okay, just, you have one? Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's to the city attorney. I thought that we had spoken yesterday about kind of piggybacking or adding the general plan amendment verbiage on this, and you had some concerns. So could you just explain to me how that changed?
Sure. Ideally, we would go with the general plan amendment and then have the resolution adding that specific thing. In talking with the public works director, he informed me that the timeline for this is sufficiently long where we'll be able to get general plan amendments done within that period of time. And as just a matter of convenience to the staff to get that process going rather than coming back with a subsequent agenda item to seek general plan amendment authority, that we do it as part of this so that staff can start processing that right away so that we can get those on the project list at another time. But we didn't come to this conclusion until about half an hour before the council meeting today. So that's the reason for the difference in what we had talked about.
I'm happy. That's good.
Okay. That was my question also, so that answers that. Okay, if there's no other questions from the council, I will go out for public hearing. Public hearing is open, and I have a few cards, speaker's cards. David Jewell. Okay.
Rather look at you.
Madam Mayor and Council, my name is Dave Jewell, and I am Chair of the Shell Beach Improvement Group. We would like to thank the Council and staff for bringing this resolution concerning Rule 28 Undergrounding Utility Conversion Project to the City Council agenda for discussion and direction today. The undergrounding of the utilities is a top priority at Shell Beach Improvement Group, which is made up of citizens and business owners in Shell Beach and around the city of Pismo Beach also. We are requesting the council by resolution request access to the credits available under Rule 28 to qualify Pismo Beach for undergrounding of utilities. Our group was concerned that the resolution before you did not give any priority to the village commercial sector on Shell Beach Road in land use area LUH1, located between Seacliff Avenue and Cliff Drive. But staff updated me while you were in closed session that they proposed this specific attention to undergrounding of utilities. We feel strongly that Shell Beach Road is too narrowly defined in this resolution, or was too narrowly defined in the resolution, by the single designation of land use area LUD4. There are two commercial strips defined in the general plan for Shell Beach. We would appreciate and request that the council grant, at this time it's not necessary. We were going to ask for your grant of time delay, but at this time it may not be necessary. Your consideration and action on these matters would be greatly appreciated by all, and we thank you for your time, and we thank staff.
Thank you very much. Brian Craig Kriowski.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, I'm speaking to you today as a member of the Shell Beach Improvement Group. Many of the members of the group are here. We wanted to introduce ourselves to you in addition to thank you for considering this. Staff has done an excellent job on this. It's not an easy puzzle to figure out, but the priority on this is really what we wanted to bring before you. Staff has recognized this and also come up with some good solutions. Really, what I was going to say today is we defer to staff on this, but we would like, and it looks like with this latest resolution proposal, for this to be moved forward, because there is going to be a time delay that everybody recognizes in getting this implemented with the engineering that's associated and so forth. But we thank you for your time, and we look forward to working with you on this. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next card I have is Paul Shira.
Council and staff, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak to you today. I have in front of me signatures of 20 business owners between Vista Del Mar and Cliff Drive that have signed the following. The following signatures consist of business and property owners along Shell Beach Road between Vista Del Mar and Cliff Avenue in Shell Beach. The undersigned are encouraging the drafting of a resolution by the City Council of Pismo Beach that will access the credits for undergrounding utilities along the commercial business corridor on Shell Beach Road. The resolution is necessary under the adoption of PG&E Rule 20A, so allotted credits can be accessed for the purpose of undergrounding utilities in view of corridors and commercial districts. Over 20 signatures of business owners on Shell Beach Road. One or two other items that need to be clarified in the resolution. I don't know if everyone has this in front of them, but the second paragraph that says, whereas the general plan of the City of Pismo Beach, Section D37, requires that the first priority for undergrounding utilities shall be along Price Street in the Motel District planning area from the intersection with Dolliver to a point 3,500 feet north. Actually, it is about 1.3 miles between Cliff Avenue and Dolliver and Price. Of those, the first two-tenths going north from Dolliver, two-tenths of a mile, it is not undergrounded. Then there's a skipping of four-tenths that is undergrounded, another three-tenths that is not undergrounded, two-tenths that is, and then another two-tenths that's not. So there's kind of a hopscotch situation, so that has to be addressed. The third paragraph that reads, the general plan of the City of Pismo Beach, Section D37, requires that the second priority for undergrounding utilities shall be Shell Beach Road in the Spyglass planning area from Spyglass Drive to Seacliff Drive. It's all been undergrounded already. Okay, so that probably could be eliminated from the resolution. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to speak to this item? This is a public hearing.
I did turn in a card. If you look at it, it's okay. There. I'm Rick Turton. I live at 468 Bello. I'm a member of the Shell Beach Improvement Group. From our early beginnings, we found out that this was a priority to us. Then we went out and did the research and found out that, hey, we weren't on anybody's radar screen. So this resolution basically gets us on the radar screen. We realize that all this is going to take a lot of time and everything. But without the resolution, there's nothing we can go forward to. I'd like to commend Dennis for seeing our intent with this and coming up with the red ink there that added into the resolution. Dennis, that's great job. Thanks a lot, because we were prepared to go in another direction, but that kind of eases into us. This is our first public appearance of the Shell Beach Improvement Group. You'll see us a lot more. We're doing a lot of things here. We're working on a Shell Beach specific plan draft that you'll be seeing coming out of us, and a lot of other things we'll be coming forward with. One thing to remember, the area from Cliff to Vista Del Mar is 18 blocks long, all of it with overhead wires right now. That area, if you compress it, is a lot bigger than downtown Pismo Beach. So you're talking about a very big area with a lot of businesses, a lot of revenue, and a lot of use by the residents of that area. So it's a high priority to go underground. So we want to do that in conjunction with the other things we're doing. So thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item? This is a public hearing. Okay, seeing none, I will...
Beach School. And Joe, when I went out that morning and actually counted cars and diagrams were drawn and whatever, at that time it was brought forward again, like the speaker tonight, about the telephone poles that are virtually or literally in the middle of the sidewalks. And as people, and many people walk their children to school in that area every morning, and they truly do need to walk into the street in order to get around the telephone poles, in order to get around the trash cans, again on Mondays. And at that time, and I'm going to defer to Mark Burns on this and just ask him a question. Dr. Elwood.
Please.
I've got it. Dr. Elwood's wife happened to have been at those meetings, and she publicly told us that she would fix, there's an 8-inch sidewalk that comes around the corner. What's Shell Beach Road on?
Terrace.
As you, if you're going north on Shell Beach Road and turn left on Terrace, there's a crosswalk there that you go across street to the school, but there's only an 8-inch sidewalk. So you have to go into the street with a baby stroller, or you have to go into the street when you're walking. Now, the reason I bring all this up again is, to me, that is a drastic health and safety violation. And I'm wondering if we went to PG&E, particularly with that particular spot in mind, that we might be able to move something forward faster. You can't have children and mothers and fathers walking in the street because of their not undergrounding.
Is that a question for the staff?
For the staff, yes. And that's all I have, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Is that anything that you can respond to, or the city attorney?
We'll follow up and see if there's any way to speed it up because of that situation.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other questions or comments from the city council? Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
Make the motion.
Go ahead.
Okay. We'll make.
Wait, just a second. I do have one question. There was something pointed out to us in the third paragraph? Does that need a change?
General plan reference.
Well, third paragraph. I don't think so. It's merely citing the general plan priorities.
Okay.
Of the city, and then the whereas that's in red, if you're looking at that one,
I understood
sort of
that.
Supersedes the previous priority. So
okay.
I think it's okay the way
okay.
it stands.
All right. Just checking. Thank you, and please, motion.
I want to make the motion to adopt the resolution approving the establishment of a Public Utilities Commission Rule 28 Underground Utility Conversion Project, and with the corrections that our staff made in red on our
copy. I second that.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilman Natoli and a second by Mayor Pro Tem to adopt this resolution with the changes as proposed.
Councilmember Natoli?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-G?
Yes.
Councilmember Ravenal?
Yes.
Councilmember Higginbotham?
Yes.
Mayor Reese?
Yes.
Passes 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Made some people happy. Okay, the next item on our agenda is 5D, Mr. City Manager.
Is this the one? Okay. I'm going to have to recuse myself. I own property which is 487 feet from the lot that we're talking about. From my property to that property on Dolliver and Pomeroy. So I'm going to have to recuse myself from participating in any discussion.
Thank you. You are excused.
Madam Mayor, may I have the floor, please?
Yes, you may.
I have a question for the city attorney. I have a question. Is the city at risk of any litigation for if there's a complaint filed because one or more council members had publicly spoken against this project on 214 and seemingly had prejudged it? So I guess my fear is possible litigation.
Well, I think the city is always at risk for litigation on any project appeal to the council that's ultimately approved or denied, whether under the circumstances of this case we're at greater potential for litigation, I can't really say. We haven't gotten to that point. There may be some additional factors that the council members...
I'm just concerned about keeping the city in good shape. Thank you.
Okay, Madam Mayor, if I may.
Thank you very much. Yes, right. Councilman Ravenal.
I have a prepared statement as well. After two discussions with the Fair Political Practices Commission in Sacramento, and advice from our local attorney. I did make an appearance at a Planning Commission meeting. It was perceived by some as a prejudgment. It was not. But even if the perception was there, enough time has passed and enough discussion has gone on that I feel very capable in making an unbiased decision in this. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay, well, that makes me ask another question, because it's my understanding that the Fair Political Practices Commission has nothing to do. That would be just be conflict of interest. Am I correct?
That's generally correct, Madam Mayor. The FPPC enforces the Political Reform Act. This would be an issue of basically constitutional due process, something that would be outside the FPPC's general purview.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to make that clarification.
Okay, yes. If I may, Madam Mayor. And I beg to differ, City Attorney, because when I contacted the Fair Political Practice Commission, they would have turned me away. Not only did they speak to me at length, one of the attorneys, they sent me a letter because I spoke at that same Planning Commission meeting on February 14th. And I spoke there as a citizen. And they said that I do not give up my right as a citizen because I'm a council member. And you know, it kind of falls in where if you're in a certain type of business, can you serve as a on jury duty? Well, I mean, I guess if you have that kind of a brain and you're that small that you can't, then you can't do that. But I think you can rise above that and make a good decision for the city.
Well, Madam Mayor, I concur entirely that council members do not give up their First Amendment rights
right.
to speak
Understood.
On that matter. And if that's what the FPPC said, I concur. I think any attorney that you ask that would find that the case law supports that position, that you have an absolute First Amendment right to come in and speak on that. The next question is really the one I'm concerned with, is are the opinions expressed and the manner in which they're expressed sufficient to cause someone questioning those statements to question the impartiality on a quasi-adjudicatory hearing? And that's why I'm saying FPPC doesn't regulate the quasi-adjudicatory. That's handled by the local court system. So
then I would say, Mr. City Attorney, then it falls back on you to tell us. Do I have to step down, sir?
Councilmember Gonzalez-G, I reviewed the tape. I don't believe that the comments that you made at that time give me a cause for concern that you would have to step down on this. I, however, cannot direct you to step down. That's a decision that each individual council member has to make on this type of thing.
You couldn't tell us to step down? Didn't you tell one of the council members to step down this evening?
I did not tell him to step down. I told him that he has property within 487 feet.
I see.
He made that conclusion. If he had told me, I'm going to sit on this anyway, I would say, Councilmember Natoli, you're within 500 feet. You run the risk of being sanctioned by the FPPC. That's your decision to make.
Well,
I can't tell any of you to step down on a matter.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't want to cause any litigation to the city, so I can only ask you what your feeling is on it. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I think it's either black and white, not gray area like I'm being told.
I give you gray area is because that's what the courts give us. They give us a case out of the city of Hermosa Beach, Clark versus City of Hermosa Beach, basically sets a standard for personal embroilment. And it is a gray standard. I can't give you a bright line that says, yes, you are over the line, yes, or no, you're not. In that situation, I understand Councilmember Benz was actually walking around the project with a picket sign saying, hell no, I'm not going to approve this when it comes to council. It was something that extreme. The court said, in this particular case, it was an unfair hearing for Councilmember Benz to sit on that appeal. And the court in that case said, City Council, you need to hear this appeal over without Councilmember Benz. The sole issue in that case really was there due process or was there constitutional fairness in having Benz sit on that appeal. So I can't give you that bright line standard, but I didn't get the impression from viewing your videotape or the videotape of your testimony that you were dead set under any circumstances. You expressed concerns, as is your right under the First Amendment, but you did not say, under no circumstances will I vote for this regardless of what they do. If you had said that, or if you were walking around the project site with a picket sign, I might be able to give you a little bit clearer, definitive answer on that. But the courts don't provide us that type of guidance.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fleischman.
I guess the concern I
have... Randy Bloom, our Community Development Director, to give the staff report. Randy.
Thank you. Tonight we have an appeal of a Planning Commission approval of a condominium subdivision, including a density bonus to create 226 square foot of commercial space plus six residential units, one of which would be an affordable. The Planning Commission conceptually reviewed this project in July 22, 2004, and the project returned to the Commission as a regular application on February 14, 2006. The Commission continued the public hearing on the project to allow time to obtain a legal opinion from the City Attorney on the City's obligation to comply with state law on density bonus law, Senate Bill 435, even though Pismo Beach does not yet have a law on its books implementing it. The project returned on March 28th with some changes to the parking request. The Commission granted conditional approval of the project at that meeting with the direction to the applicant to return with a redesign of the facade of the building and with information on the potential to include a driveway on Pomeroy. The motion included the provision that if the majority of the Commission did not approve the redesign, then the project has not met the conditions and will therefore not be permitted to go forward. And that, I want to elaborate a little bit on this, in that the Council tonight has a public hearing for an appeal, and we have several issues that people have appealed. The applicant, since the Planning Commission has made that decision, has generated a redesign of the facade elevation. However, the final approval of that elevation still lies within the purview of the Planning Commission, as does the driveway approach issue. Those two conditions have to return back to the Planning Commission, no matter what the Council decides on this. The appeals, there was one main appeal with 31 others in support of the appeal. The main issues relating to it was parking is insufficient, the building is too large for the site, too imposing, the building is inappropriate for the location, and the ratio of commercial to residential the felt was out of balance. The majority of the issues related to that, and let me go through, for example, at the Planning Commission meeting, the Planning Commission looked at the original elevation, which is quote-unquote Art Deco in certain terms. The Planning Commission was uneasy with that elevation and asked the applicant to return to the Planning Commission on the redesign. The appellants in this case that's going forward to Council felt that same way in relationship to the height and bulk of the building. They felt that the commercial relationship was inappropriate. The 2,226 square foot of commercial residential in relationship to the six residential units was imbalanced, and there was some question on the height. To clarify, the general plan requires a 35-foot height maximum in the downtown area. That's the whole primary downtown area. And that height is measured from the natural grade, average natural grade. This particular building meets that requirement. There was a little bit confusion on some people's part, not in the public hearings, but afterwards, is that the 1983 zoning ordinance still has a provision in it of a 42-foot height. However, the general plan policy overrides that, and this project is designed to meet that general plan 35-foot height. There was questions relating to the state law and its relationship to density bonuses. The Planning Commission found that the applicant was to pay for 3 parking in lieu fees. The total demand for the project is 18 parking stalls. There's 15 stalls provided on the site. The Planning Commission did not approve an averaging between the commercial and residential, but required the 3 parking stalls to be paid for. Also, in addition, there was issue relating to the issue of rounding up. Under the zoning ordinance, the provision for this is you take the lot area and divide by 2,000, and that comes to the lot size is 8,856 square feet. You divide by 2,000 square feet and the general public. Your charge is to take a look at the project and make a decision. Does the project meet the general plan standards and the zoning ordinance implementation of those policies and standards? The part that is separated from you tonight that makes it confusing is that the elevation, the new elevation, and the driveway approach, the council, should they approve the project, can't just approve the new elevation or the driveway issue. It has to go back to the Planning Commission. That makes it a little bit confusing on this issue. Basically, a lot of the issues that were talked about at the joint workshop that the Planning Commission and City Council had. The direction staff got from that workshop was a couple fold. Was the first part was that in the central commercial district, we are to try to preserve as much commercial ground footage, commercial square footage as we can. And those new projects coming in is that we are to have the applicant make an analysis to see if subterranean parking is fiscally and technically feasible. That's what came out of the workshop. Also, the workshop is understanding that we're going to have a parking study coming at the end of the summer. And after that study, then the next step is to look at the parameters of a specific plan. But tonight, what you have in front of you is an appeal, basically in relationship to the appellants feel that the ratio of commercial residential is inappropriate, that the building location, the size, and that the parking is insufficient in relationship to that. There was also several communications relating to traffic and access and exiting from that complex. However, some of that issue will be evaluated with the traffic study the evaluation of the driveway approaches on that. I hope that kind of puts it in parameters for you, but basically there's a lot of information here. There's all the appellate letters. There's the verbatim minutes of the Planning Commission. There's copies of the Assembly Bill 435. But if you focus on the matrix as kind of the relationship to the issues, it may be able to help the council kind of organize their thoughts in relationship to that. And if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay. Is there any questions of staff? I have one. When you said size, you were referring to heights,
yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That was part of the appellant's. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Is there any other questions of staff? Yeah.
Thank you. I have a couple. So in going back to what you were saying, are you stating that the state mandate supersedes local law with regard to rounding up and doing the calculations?
The state law pertains in the section it says all density calculations resulting in fractional units shall be rounded up to the next whole number. The granting of a density bonus shall not be interpreted in itself to require a general plan amendment, local coastal amendment.
But normally in any other project, we wouldn't round up.
That's
if
correct.
It was
For
a
example,
fraction.
Like if you have parking requirement and you had 3.2 requirements, you would have to... Let me step back a step. Typically, if you, in relationship to density, if you go over half, a lot of times in the past we have granted that higher.
Could amount. You speak into the mic, sorry. Please? It's hard to hear you.
I'm sorry. Typically, in the past, when we have gone over the half, we have went up, and we've done that as a practice. This was below half. But staff communicated with the state and asked what is the parameters in relationship to the Simba bill, and they gave us direction to round up, and that's where that came from. Now, there's the only part that's written in the Assembly bill is relating to the rounding up of the percentages area after you achieve that. I don't know if I might be confusing.
No, I see it because I have it here.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm just curious. Okay. I guess the other question I have is it seems like we've got this word shall used, and it's used almost in two different ways. Mm-hmm. One is the state mandate says the city shall have a resolution in place discussing the concessions and bonuses. Do this, which we didn't. So that I feel it's a little bit of a mixed message.
Madam Mayor, I might be able to clarify on this. I was asked this question when it was before the Planning Commission as to what the situation was, and I told Council Member Higginbotham that I thought I'd written an email to staff about it. I couldn't find it. But in any event, when you have a situation where the state has mandated us to adopt an ordinance or a resolution, and we have not done so, then you're going to default to the state law on this, because what would happen in the alternate is cities could just basically stonewall and say, we're not going to adopt one until someone sues us, and therefore you can't impose the concessions. That would frustrate the whole purpose of the legislation, and that's kind of the reason why I opined in that manner.
The audience, please be quiet.
I don't know if that clarifies it for you, but I think we would be in a really bad situation if we took the position that because we don't have that ordinance, we don't have to deal with any of the concessions, because I think the state and HCD would probably come down pretty hard on cities that did that.
I understand. Yeah. Okay. And then this may not be able to come from you. It may have to come from the applicant. But when you're talking about the value of a property, and you're selling it at an affordable housing rate, and then of course it'll be deed restricted. How do you determine the value of that affordable housing unit?
Basically, the San Luis Housing Authority has an adjusted local county figure for, number one, the size of the unit, who is to purchase it. There's a variable combination. If a single person is purchasing a one-bedroom apartment, they have a range of that in all those three categories. If a family of four is purchasing it and it's a three-bedroom or two-bedroom, there is a sliding scale of what that is. There is a target number for what that unit can be sold for, and what it can be rented for, and what the qualifier's income is. And that's adjusted yearly, comes down from the state and filters through our County Housing Authority, and then we inherit that number.
Thank you. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any other questions of staff?
Yeah, Madam Mayor, thank you. Our mayor asked a question about bulk. Does it relate to height? You know, my issue has really never been the project. My issue has always been the bulk. And as I'd mentioned before, Randy, I had talked about walking down Pomeroy Street and not wanting to wait till the noon hour so I could see the sun come over. There's no articulation. And that is a massive part of bulk. This thing goes sidewalk up to whatever this new height is. I mean, it just goes up. There is no articulation in the building. There is no remedy for sunlight coming through. There is none of this.
Do you have a question?
I'm getting there, Marion. Thank you for asking me, though. Yeah, I made me lose my train of thought. Is this not a reason that the council can not approve this project because we don't know today what tomorrow's specific plan is going to dictate as far as height, as far as articulation, as far as but anyway, none of those things are defined. So consequently, this would then set a precedent because we know what we've got at one end of the block on Price and Pomeroy. We've got that huge monstrosity that was built there. As it shows in the diagram, we've got a couple of smaller cottage-type things. And then this monstrosity that not only comes up on Pomeroy but goes around the corner as well, and this is the most visible corner that we have in our whole downtown court's precedent setting. So aren't those issues that are viable?
I think in answering that is that the issue of the elevation today, and the council has a full preview of if they felt that it wasn't compatible, you could turn it down.
Okay.
But to turn it down to just say, well, we don't have a reason that we want to wait, I think you're stepping out.
But I understand.
But what it is today and how you feel about it, the council has that full
Good.
Preview.
Good. Thank you very much. That's all I need. Thank you, Madam.
Thank you. If there's no other questions, I'll open the public hearing. Public hearing is now open. I do have a few speaker cards, and if you plan on speaking on this item, I'd
right. During this hearing, your staff will put on a different hat as the hearing progresses, and if you look for reasons you wish to uphold the appeal and deny what the Planning Commission did, then they will be equally as zealous to make the proper findings for you based on the zoning ordinances and elements of the general plan. And probably you would then bring that motion back to your next meeting on a consent agenda for approval should you decide to uphold the appeal tonight. What I'm going to ask you to do is uphold the appeal, deny the project without prejudice. That means it's still alive and they can take it back through city processes without paying additional fees. Third thing I would like to ask you to do is send it back to the Planning Commission and give them specific instructions on how to handle those areas which are of greatest concern to you. This project, though it has many good features about it, is nonetheless the poster child project for all of the objections you heard at the workshop hearing last week. It is the embodiment of the concern that people have over height, bulk, loss of the small town feel, additional traffic, conversion of the commercial area to residential. So this gives you a great opportunity to express to the Planning Commission things that you would like to see articulated. You can pick certain parts of this project as you send it back to the Planning Commission and say, we, the City Council, do not wish the commercial area to be converted to residential. We do not want height and bulk of X. This is your opportunity to articulate that to your Planning Commission. The issues that I would like to bring up to you are that this project does, in fact, convert commercial to residential. It's 87% residential. It does illegally grant two bonus residential units under the misapplication of SB 435. And I appreciate Mr. Bloom's staff having made a call to an unnamed person in Sacramento that rounding up would apply. But perhaps the next phone call should be to a fifth grade math teacher on what is rounding up. Rounding up is 0.5 or more. If you have 4.43, you do not round up to 5, you round down to 4. Also, inadequate access to the property is a public health and safety issue in that part of town. Inadequate parking on site is a problem that will affect other properties nearby in the downtown and the business community. The loss of the historical ambiance and the small town feel will affect all of us. I would like to begin with, do we have someone to show things on the screen tonight?
Is there someone in the back that could help us out?
And I'd like my time not to be running while they go and look, if you don't mind. I lost 20 precious seconds at the last meeting. Could you put that up, please? Now, which one is that? This is about calculating density. In the city of Pismo Beach, for the C1 zone, we have two zoning ordinance phrases, sections that apply to calculating density. They are permitted one residential unit per 2,000 square feet of lot in the C1 zone. They are allowed secondary residential uses, not primary residential uses in any case. And a secondary residential use is, in our zoning ordinance, listed as apartments as secondary uses, such as second floor or rear of C1 buildings in conjunction with a permitted business. And this is very much like the young lady you described last week, Madam Mayor, who owns the Pilates studio, who works downstairs and rents an apartment upstairs, that type of thing. 690 Dolliver Street is a 90 by 98.38 feet lot. That is 8,854.2 square feet. You divide that by 2,000, which is what our zoning ordinance uses as a to compute, you get 4.43. This equals 4. We know this is how we calculate density, and this is 4 because this very project appeared before the Planning Commission a year and a half or so ago, and it came to them as a property in the C1 zone with 4 residential units. They were asking at that time if they might consider 2 more units as vacation rentals and call them commercial. But even the first time this one came to the Planning Commission, it was known that this only has 4. And I'll give you a of this chapter. Density bonus means a density increase over the otherwise maximum allowable residential density under the plan as of the date of application by the application to the city. This is under city ordinances that existed at the time. There is no way this project gets 6 residential units. Another thing that it says is that it only applies to units that are 5 or more. 690 Dolliver does not qualify for consideration under SB 435 because it has only 4 residential units allowed under the zoning ordinance. Therefore, it must be denied because it has 6. You have to send it back to the Planning Commission. Another serious issue with this project is that they currently have 3 entries and exits, and their proposal is to increase the density and the traffic, the ingress and the ingress greatly, and reduce the ingress and egress then to 1 driveway.
Okay, are you close to finishing?
Yes, ma'am, I'm very close.
Okay.
If you see right now, they have 3 driveways in and out. And you will see, I'm sure, when the applicant steps up here, that their plan is to reduce it to 1 driveway, which would be the one kind of on the right down below. The driveway would be in that location. Furthermore, it would be shared with a yet undisclosed project on the next few lots at 640 Dolliver. So you're going to have 2 good-sized commercial projects coming in on a parcel that those parcels previously had 3 driveways in and out, and now they're being increased in density, and the traffic in and out is being pinched to 1 driveway in and out on one of the busiest streets in downtown Pismo Beach. This is one of the issues that the Planning Commission was interested in. And I'll sit down for the moment. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have several people that were appellants, And if there's others that would like to speak to this, that's great. And we'd like to hear everyone, but if you could possibly just have maybe two or three people that could speak for you, that would be helpful in terms of time. But we do want to hear from everyone that wants to speak.
Don Day,
as an appellant.
Don Day, 101 Park Place, Pismo Beach. Madam Mayor, members of the council, I'm also an appellant. I'm going to reiterate a couple of things that Effie referred to, but I'm going to be a little more specific. Under Senate Bill 435-65915G, where it talks about density bonus, referring to the density bonus one would get if the bill applies. Again, it reads, a density increase over the otherwise maximum allowable residential density under the applicable zoning ordinance and land use element of the general plan as of the date of application by the applicant to the city, county, etc. Having spoken to senior planners in the city of Pismo, when I asked the question, what is the normal procedure when you have a fractional increment, the response was, in all cases in the past, it's been rounded down. So that, to me, means that the normal procedure and application of our own ordinances would be to round down. If we follow that or implement that rule, they would be entitled to four. They don't qualify for the Senate bill, Assembly bill. If you go to Section 65915G5, which the applicant has referred to several times in the correspondence, it says the density calculations resulting in fractional units shall be rounded up to the next whole number, and that's when you're referring to granting a density bonus. But you have to define the density at that point, and then you see whether you qualify for the density bonus. It doesn't say that you can, that this assembly bill modifies our ordinances. In fact, there's language to the contrary in there that says that we don't have to change our general plan and our zoning ordinances. The next thing I'd like to go into a little bit is one of the things referred to is the October 26, 2004 Planning Commission meeting where they talk about the Planning Commission had discussions where they had decided that they could have the primary commercial use within the commercial core could be secondary to residential. If you go to another meeting, this is excerpts from the October 26 meeting minutes. Judy Lautner described the issue. The C1 zone allows residential as a secondary use, but secondary use is not defined. She described two projects as examples, and it continues. The 1983 zoning ordinance, which applies currently, states, let me find it. At one time, this was in order. Under 17042.030, uses requiring conditional use permits in the C1 zone, apartments as secondary uses, buildings in conjunction with permitted businesses. Now, under Section 17.006.0890, definitions, secondary use is defined. A use which is subordinate to or auxiliary to that of a principal use. I think that's very clear that it's secondary in nature. Again, the Planning Commission has strayed afield, I think, from what they should have done in their interpretations of this, and they have now gone to a project that is approximately 88% residential and 22% residential in the commercial core. Another summary comment that the Planning Commission came up with at that same October 26 meeting was that this was the Commission's consensus that a secondary residential use can be larger in floor area to the primary commercial use when the commercial has greater visibility on the street. And I think that's, and there's some other languages, a functional commercial space. And I think that's contrary to what our own ordinances say. Let me say this. I'm not against the project. I think they've done a great job in putting together a project. I just think the application of the ordinances are inappropriate. I'm concerned about the parking. And I understand what they're doing. And I'm going to give you an example of something that on some personal property that I own, to give you a sense of what I'm talking about, I own a 12,500-square-foot piece of property in Pismo on Hines Street. If I play the same game that's being used here, or if I use the same procedures, I could get 8 units out of that, residential. Today's market price, I could get $8 million for those 8 units, approximately. I could get an additional 5,000 square feet of retail on that piece of ground. I'm going to be looking at a gross value of that at sale of something on the order of $9 million. If I take 10,000 square feet of construction, I put $200 a square foot in there, I got $2 million of construction costs. I could stand to make $6 million, generally, on that piece of property. But I'm telling you, as a concerned citizen, that I think it's an inappropriate application of the rules. I don't think it's what's in the best interest of this community, and I think if we intensify the residential too greatly in the downtown core, we're going to be doing ourselves and the community a disservice because, as you'll hear a little later, there are costs associated with residential where they don't bear a fair portion of the burden that they put on the city in the way of demands for services. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other appellants that would like to speak to this item? Okay. Seeing no appellants, I will open up to others that have given me cards. Mark Burns. Excuse me. No, I don't have to go to the applicant first.
Leonard Ogden, 140 South Dolliver. I did file an appeal on this project. I'm a short-time resident in Pismo, and I very seldom get involved in the politics and what goes on, but there are times when things jump out, and this project is one of them. I think we need to look at what we're going to do to our downtown if we approve this type of project. It is just the first of many that I see coming if this project is approved. I agree with the mixed use. I think it's being abused in the percentage versus what is being proposed. Also, I'm a little concerned with the use of low-income, moderate housing, low-cost housing. I don't think anyone that would work downtown could afford one of these units. So is it really appropriate to present this as one unit being low-cost or moderate housing? Like I say, I think we just need to look at the vision of Pismo. I'm a short time. I love it. And I think if we approve projects like this, we're going to put a big blight on our city. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any other appellants that would like to speak to this item?
Madam Mayor, member of the council, my name is Bob Dutra. I think we've got a situation here, the cart before the horse. The Planning Commission sat with you a week ago and discussed all their problems about height, about parking, about whatever. And I think they moved and passed this project too soon. They should wait until our parking studies are done. You had a call from the doctor at Cal Poly who offered all his staff, and that would be immensely beneficial to the city of Pismo Beach. You got to wait till the parking study's back. There are several things that need to be done before this project is approved. Yeah, I'm a builder developer, 30 years in the valley, and I understand. But you have a situation in downtown Pismo that you want to keep it pristine. You don't want to ruin it. And I'm not saying that a project like this, scaled down, wouldn't be all right. But you need to talk about it. They talked about heights, 41 feet to 25 feet. Now, do you want to stagger them downtown, or do you want to make them all the same height? I mean, those are things that you need to talk about and that you were talking about. But the problem is, with the 30-second rule, it's, you know, the three-minute rule, it's very difficult to get a project out to talk to somebody about it. You need to have more sessions with the Planning Commission. They are they're people that are trying to do a good job, but you have to understand, they are appointed. The burden lies with you as the elected official. The buck stops here. You know, and you need to do something about it. You need to get all the facts before you make an evaluation, something of this size. I mean, you're putting the whole town in jeopardy because once this goes in this way, you're setting a precedent. You talk about suits. The guy next door will come right to you and sue you if you don't let him do the same thing. I mean, you're setting a terrible precedent. So you just need to be very careful and be cognizant of the fact that this is Pismo Beach. And there's an old saying, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But be very careful of what we do. Because I'm concerned. I really am. I want to see Pismo the way it is. I want to see it grow. You can grow a little bit, but there are places to do it. Not in the central core of commercial. You haven't got a specific plan for it yet. And you need to do that before you do anything else. You need that. I mean, you can't just go harem scare them here and harem scare them there. We've done that. I've seen that done. And believe me, I've probably been part of it in the years past. But as you get older, you get a little wiser. And you have to look at what's coming in the future for my grandkids. So that's what I'm concerned about. So please be cognizant of the fact that there are a lot of people that didn't come tonight that would have spoken, but during the last meeting, the way I got out of it, that the Planning Commission was asking for help. They was asking you, what should we do downtown? What can we collectively come up with to make it better for everybody so we can start approving projects the right way? And that's what they're asking from you. So before you open the door of Pandora's box, I think you better wait till all those factors are in first. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any other appellants who would like to speak to this item? Okay, then I'll move on to interested parties. And Mark Burns, I have a card from you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would like the someone from AGP to get the overhead for me, if possible. Thank you.
Okay, you have 3 minutes.
I'm not here to speak directly to the project. I'm here as the project is controversial. And to be very clear to you, as you'll see, we have all been given one of these. And I'm here to point out to you an error in this. That has me as the owner of the property at 791 Price Street. I do not own that property. I have never owned that or any other property within 500 feet of this, and I thought in light of recent events, I wanted to make it very clear that my vote on this was not in conflict. And if I might, as I see the two elevations on a different subject, so in our handout here is inaccurate. I do not own that property. I pay $11 a month for my mailbox there. It's Mail Plus next to Midstate Bank. So as I look at these elevations here, one thing, if whatever incarnation this may come back to us at the Planning Commission, there's been some talk about some software or some assistance from Cal Poly seeing this superimposed over the area. Mm-hmm. That would be great if we could see that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Madam Mayor and Council, if I could. I appreciate Commissioner Burns pointing that out to us. The mistake was on the staff's part, and I'll ensure over the next few days, this, of course, packet was handed out, I guess, about 6 months ago, but we'll go ahead and make sure those things are corrected and that out of each of those packets that sheet is pulled. So the error is on the staff's part. Thanks for pointing it out.
Okay, for the public's edification, you want to talk about the 500-foot rule?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The FPPC regulations basically state that a decision maker is presumed to have a material financial interest in a property that's within 500-foot radius of a subject property. So what staff had done is put together a bunch of maps taking a 500-foot radius from those properties that were listed in all the council member and commissioners' Form 700s. Apparently, in Commissioner Burns' instance, that's a mailing address. It's a mailbox place. But because it was on the Form 700, it's my understanding staff went ahead and drew a 500-foot line around that location as well, and that's why that came up. So we're going to take another look and make sure that we make sure there's a physical ownership of the properties and not just a mailbox or a mailing address of that location. But those maps are something that are probably a good thing to have in those instances where we're not sure. For example, the reason Councilmember Natoli has stepped down on this matter is we took a look at that map. Interestingly enough, the red line, depending on how thick you draw it, could shade over into property that he owns or not. So we actually had the engineering staff, I believe, do a GIS analysis of how far it was exactly so that we would be clear on that. And the measurement came out to 487 feet, and we informed Councilmember Natoli of that fact.
Okay. Thank you.
That's again, I would like to apologize to Commissioner Burns. It's really an inexcusable kind of stupid error on the staff's part, and we'll correct it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I have a card from Rick Turton.
I'm Rick Turton. I live in Pismo Beach, and I'm one of the people that want to uphold the appeal. My main area tonight will be parking. It looks like what we're doing with this mixed residential use and commercial use is we're shoehorning in the parking situation. I look at the, and maybe I'm wrong, but I look at the commercial dedicated, and it was 2,000 plus square feet. I divide that out, and I get 7 parking spots. It was rounded down to 6, so maybe I'm wrong there. But anyway, I really feel that we've got to watch this, that we're basically under-parking the commercial. And as I mentioned at our joint meeting, is what happens to the person who rents the commercial space and it's already under-parked to begin with? And that seems to be our trend in order to get the development in place. One of the things that I've been talking about recently is the residential as compared to commercial, as how is it affects the city's income down the road. And we all talked about that the residential is a negative. Okay, in mixed use, it would probably relatively be the same thing. Going online, I went to CaliforniaCityFinance.com, which I often quote here, and I found a theoretical comparison of annual cost and revenues from different development proposals. And it takes a look at family residential, multifamily residential, industrial, and retail. So what I looked at is the family residential and retail, which is basically a what you're looking at is a combination of both of those. And the and we have, if you need to see this, we brought some copies. Don, actually, maybe go out and try to find some information on this. The residential produced, and this basically they built it out theoretically. They had a city expenditures applied against it. And not to give you with the math, but the bottom line is we looked at, in the residential area, 11% negative to the city. Now, the retail was 185% positive. So I feel that we're looking at this the wrong way. We're looking at it. How can we get these residential units? Let's go this and be creative with the parking here and there. We need to look at it as the city's long-term investment in this is our revenue sources are going to come from the commercial. And if we sit there and you look at a little layout like this, 180% positive against 11% negative, and we're not giving the lip service and the time and the designs and the needs of what we're doing. We're under-parking the commercial to begin with. We're allowing the numbers to be played with, and I'm not talking just Lenny's project. I'm talking we got to draw a line in the sand here and say stop. We got to go back to the drawing board, take a hard look at what we're doing, because when the city puts their hand out for this revenue from this 2,000-foot commercial that's going to be down there, they're going to be sorely underpaid because we're underparking it. So that means we're going to be forced to look at municipal solutions to the parking situations. Then if you look at it from another way, as time permits, I did a little bit more of me being the retail person. What is it going to take for me to be in this place? You've given me 3 parking spots. Well, we'll talk about that another time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Art Anthony.
Madam Mayor, Honorable Council, Art Anthony, I live on Coral Court. Please permit me to read to avoid rambling. A key intersection on State Highway 1 is a bad location for mixed uses, which will create considerable in-and-out traffic if the ground floor commercial stores are at all attractive. The real problem is friction points at the access egress driveways. Pomeroy is a busy city, one-way street. Dolliver Highway 1 is a busy state highway. It is signalized at the intersection, as we all know. Please visualize and think through the in-and-out vehicle moves of a potential commercial customer. and then add in delivery trucks. Mixed uses will work on less busy downtown streets, perhaps, if access and parking is in the rear, or if access is correctly designed to harmonize with vehicle patterns and flows on the street. I hope you will uphold the appeals and deny the project as it is now presented. Not really a bad project, a bit massive for my personal taste, but not a bad project, but it's in the wrong location. I also hope that expert planners, I'm not one, will tell Mr. Grant what will work on this corner and tell him soon to be fair if you deny it. Earlier in this discussion, questions were asked about council members recusing themselves for prior statements, and I'm glad that those questions were asked and answered. One question that was not asked was, what is the threat of personal exposure to litigation? Not exposure of the city as an entity, but is there a threat to an individual who may have previously taken a position on this and now intends to vote on it? As a famous ball player once said, it ain't over till it's over.
Thank you very much. Brahmadi Sharma.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, I had some ideas to speak, but after Mr. Broom said something, that is, this project will have to go to the Planning Commission. So I suggest to you that you should not make any specific decision, as rather uphold the appeal and let me talk about this in front of the Planning Commission. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Leonard already spoke. Bart Denon?
Barton Denon again, 950 Visalia Street, Mayor, Council. It's all pretty much been said. I don't have anything to add. I would encourage you to uphold the appeal. My reasons being, I think the project is out of character for the downtown or the streets surrounding the downtown. I can visualize every corner of that intersection looking as that does. And that perspective is a very advantageous one. That does not at all look like it would look if a person was standing down there in the middle of that street. Based on what was said at that meeting last week, that excellent good start for downtown, I think what the people said is just emphasizes what I said is totally out of character for what people in this community want to see down there. And definitely this is not a good precedent to set in the minds of most of those people and my own mind. So again, please uphold the appeal on this project. Good evening.
Thank you. Tony Spinelli.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, members of Council, Tony Spinelli, Pismo Beach. Let me preface this by saying that I'm here to get solutions, not add to the fire. First of all, I think this is a great project. It's got some tweaking that needs to be done. But in my mind's eye, you know, what I'm hearing out here is what Avila Beach went through when they wanted to keep the funkiness in the town. In order to continue with a thriving downtown, you're going to have height and bulk issues. Now, I can understand articulations, but I think that the burden of parking is put on the city. The city is here to generate revenue in sales tax and in bed tax. We need to fulfill an obligation to the property owners and the business owners within this downtown, and I've said this before. It's not up to us as property owners and business owners to furnish a means of parking in the downtown. Case in point, one of the council members had suggested and was very adamant about, well, if we raise the parking fees to $36,000, we will have the businessmen and the business owners and property owners in the downtown come up with a parking plan. That's wrong. That's in the city's back pocket. They're the ones that are supposed to furnish that. My suggestion to the solution to the parking problem has always been that we take the two Main Street parking lots, turn it over to private individuals, let them build the parking structure, allowing them to put commercial use on the ground floor and go down one floor and up three floors. And at the same time, when a project comes before the city, the developer can pay into that park, whoever develops that parking lot, pay into that parking fund. It can funnel through the city into the developer. This gives a mean. It's an ends to into a solution of a problem. What we're doing right now is we're trying to put the burden back onto the property owners, which we're limited. We are limited in the downtown core. We need to find solutions to these problems. You know, we can sit here and we can preach about the city bringing forth parking. I'll be honest with you. I don't think that if we put the burden of the parking situation on the city, that the city's going to be able to come back to the citizens of this community within the next 15 years and put a parking structure downtown. It's not economically feasible for the city to do that. So what you need to do is you need to get a group of people together that is willing to put this together for the city and probably can have this on the board within 3 years. That's the end of my conversation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I have a card here with three names on it, Leonard Grant and Mr. Rizzo and Scott Shell.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and Honorable City Council. My name is Lenny Grant. I'm the architect for the project and one of the three owners, with Marco Rizzo's here tonight, one of the owners, and Jeff Lawhead and Sorrow Rizzo. So, anyways, I just wanted to do a brief statement here. We've designed the best project for this site. I fully believe we're consistent with the general plan as per your staff and your planning commission. The primary use of this project is pedestrian-oriented, visitor-serving commercial at the ground level. The residential is secondary in that it's at the second and third floors. It is encouraged on the second and third floors per the general plan, and this was confirmed by your staff. This is similar to a project that was approved recently on Hines by Paul Lawton that had less percentage of commercial than our project does. So it's consistent with other projects that have been approved recently. It, in my mind, it is articulated quite a bit, both at the corners and at the upper levels. The new Spanish design will articulate it further. I think we need to think about balance in the city. On the books with different developers downtown right now, there is approximately 120,000 square feet of commercial that is in the works, both recently approved and in the works that I've talked to the city staff about, and 90,000 square feet of residential. So I don't think that projects should be looked at specifically, but they should be looked at in balance with the rest of what's happening in the city. And right now, there is a good balance. So I think you can let the market dictate what's happening. And if you see something going sideways, sure, I would throw up a red flag too. But right now, things are in balance. This project has been supported by the staff and the Planning Commission for the 2 years that we've been working on it. This is not a big project. It's got a floor area ratio of 1.1. That's when you take the total square footage of the residential and the commercial, you divide it by the total square footage of the lot area. 1.1 is not very high for a commercial core project. This is not a big project. This is six residential units, 1,400 square feet, just under 1,400 square feet apiece, and a little over 2,000 square feet of commercial. So the percentages that have been applied to this have been all over the place, but they've all been wrong. It's right around 25% to be accurate. This is not a big project. And the commercial uses on the second floor are difficult to pin down. Affordable housing is definitely needed in Pismo Beach, and that's why we thought that would be a good thing for this project. It's not a ploy. It's not being deceitful. It's something that's needed. It's something that I believe in. I grew up here, and I want to see my kids stay here. So I will continue to try to build affordable housing, whether it's in Pismo Beach or Rio Grande. I have no other projects in Pismo Beach right now that are of this nature. So I want to clarify that because I think that was a question. I don't have a bunch of projects coming at Pismo like this. I only have one. The project, the affordable unit, will probably be in a neighborhood of $250,000 to $300,000. That will be dictated later when we're ready to pull permits based on county median income. That is what somebody working in the upper level of the police department or fire department or a dual income couple downtown Pismo Beach, I think you could find people that could qualify for this. It also could be rented. It also could be sold to an affordable housing, a nonprofit affordable housing corporation. There's plenty of them here in the county. A couple more comments here. I went downtown and I tried to find out if this was just a terribly terrible project that was unpopular with a lot of people. It's not. I was able to get approximately 30 to 35 signatures in a few hours of walking downtown. And most of those have been submitted to you, and there's a few more that we're ready to submit. And a majority of the people, I think I had two people that were unwilling to sign. And I think it was for political reasons. But everybody else wholeheartedly signed my petition. They loved the project. And I asked every one of them, or many of them asked me, can I move into your project? That's a beautiful project. And I said, sure. But the ground floor is spoken to. Do you want to maybe take the second floor? Every single one of them said no. So second floor is tough. And the general plan says it shall be visitor-serving, pedestrian-oriented. Second floor is tough to do that. So affordable housing, it's needed. Housing is needed, and it's encouraged in the general plan. We want a high-quality project. Jeff Lawhead and I and Marco have worked together on various projects for about 8 years. The very first project we did was Cafe Roma in San Luis. It's a beautiful building. It won an award from the San Luis Obispo or the Obispo Beautiful Association. And we've also been involved with other projects here locally. Jeff built Dolphin Bay. It's a beautiful project. And I designed the Pismo Beach Office Park, arguably a beautiful project. We want a first-class project for downtown. And it's an opportunity for the city to get that. I will wrap up. 1 second. We have waited. We have listened to staff. We have said yes to the staff, to the city, to the planning commission, to everybody several times, and that's what we'd like to hear you say to us tonight is yes. We opened a corner up in the beginning when Carolyn Johnson asked us to hold off the corner. We waited for the city as they research what affordable housing is and what it means to the city and what is required. We waited for the city, for the attorney to review whether SB 435 was applicable to our project, even though the city did not have a policy in place. We waited for the city to discuss mixed-use projects. Every time we added a few months. In the meantime, projects like Paul Lawton's got approved. Nobody appealed the projects. And they have less commercial than we do. Nobody appealed them. It's in the C1 zone. When the city wanted us to not give us incentives, such as parking, we said, okay, we'll pay for them. I question whether that's appropriate, but we said, fine, we'll pay for them. When the city asked us to redesign it, because even though in my mind there's a ton of Art Deco buildings downtown, we said, no problem. What would you like us to do? I met with the neighbors. We talked. We decided to go down in the Spanish theme. So we've really tried to do the right thing. We think this is a great project for the city, and we hope that you say yes to us. And I appreciate your time. And I would like to give a few minutes to Sara Rizzo, one of our partners, and then Scott Schell, who's our traffic engineer. Thank you.
Okay, would you give us your name and your address?
Yes. Good evening. This on? Yeah. I'm one of the property owners on the 690 Dolliver. I currently live in Avila Beach. I don't want to repeat what Lenny said, but I think I want to make a couple of philosophical arguments here tonight. To begin with, let me state that I am an environmental attorney, and I deal with planning processes, usually representing environmental groups and stuff like that. I was the founding attorney who started the Avila Alliance, and I was the first person to sue Unical and to get the Avila Beach cleanup process going. So I am a very strong environmental credentials. I've also represented citizen advocacy groups against the County of San Luis Obispo, won CEQA lawsuits against them. I'm fairly well attuned with the legal process. And I'm just saying that by way of background, not because, believe me, the last thing I ever want to do is get involved in that kind of litigation. Having said that, I do appreciate the fact that the way the process works. I have a great appreciation for people speaking, getting things in the public record, getting, it's basically, you know, the American system, it's political participation. With regards to this, I saw 35 appeals put together. But when I started looking through a lot of these appeals, they're basically, I mean, your procedures say, you know, be specific, cite what you're saying. I mean, it's easy for one person to run around and get a bunch of people worked up in a frenzy and say, file an appeal. When you look at them, 35 appeals, but only four people showed up here today to speak, four appellants. So theoretically, you have to disregard those other 31. Now, I'm not telling you to do that or not, but I'm saying if you're going to take the time and say, I want to be one of those 35, then I think you should take the time and be up here and put your name to the mic and get on the record and doing it, besides spending 2 seconds filling out a form. The thing is, we do have rights here as property owners, and the Planning Commission already looked at this, and we have vested rights into this. The burden's on them. They're coming to say, we don't like your project. We want to appeal it. I think they should have the courtesy to show up. Besides that, I think what it really comes down to for you as council members, and I have a great respect for what you do, is today is look at the information. I think you have a staff report that's been working at this for a year and a half. They've looked at all the issues, and it's all laid out in the staff report. Every argument that was made by the appellants today has already been addressed by your staff. And when we're looking at what kind of staff you have, I mean, I assume you hired them because you feel that they're professional. A lot of them, I'm sure, have city planning backgrounds. They look at the law. They study it. They know what parking issues are. They know what traffic issues are. They've gone over this over and over and over, providing multiple staff reports. And if they come up and say it's within the zoning law or it is the project is consistent with the general plan, they're just not saying that willy-nilly. They've looked at, they know what the city general plan is. And it's very easy for someone to say there and saying, I don't like this project. I don't think it applies with the general plan. Well, be specific. None of them were. Effie McDermott was specific with certain things, but you have your own staff report saying, yes, we talked to the people in Sacramento, and they said, and this is our interpretation of it. Now, it comes to you. Are you going to believe your own staff who was on your payroll, or are you going to believe someone who just doesn't like it for whatever reason and just disregard your staff? I mean, that's up to you how you want to approach it. But I think you need to give some deference to the professionalism of your staff and people who really know. If so, I think, like I said, the staff has addressed all of the issues brought up in the appeals, and I think their report tonight, like I said, I don't want to go through it all. It's before you. You could read it. The question of affordable housing, we want to provide something. Everybody knows it's an issue. I mean, price has gone up and up and up and up. If someone needs affordable housing, you think about that one person who could afford that would be a recipient of that. That could be a school teacher. That could be a police person that you're trying to hire. If you want to vote against it, then that's fine. I mean, but think about someone who would be benefiting that. Someone else talked about, well, maybe we should do nothing in Pismo Beach until we figure out all these other issues and come up with processes and plans and whatnot. I mean, given the length of time that takes, basically what they're saying is, let's put a moratorium downtown. Let's stop every project until you come up with a parking plans and all these types of things. Other places have done it. I don't know if, as a council, you want to come up and say, let's stop all planning and building in Pismo Beach until we have all that. That could take years. And on last point, as your staff pointed out, this is going to have to go back to the Planning Commission anyways. There's other issues that they have to sign off on, the style of the architecture. I think Leonard did a very good job in a very short time to redesign it into something that's aesthetically pleasing. It needs to go back for those issues. It needs to go back to them with the height elevation issues. And it needs to go back to them anyways, I think, on the entrance issues. So it's not like it's a done deal if you decide to not appeal today. Staff is still going to be working with us on these different issues, and I have full faith and credit in their abilities to do so. The last issue is the in-lieu fees. Like, okay. I said, I remember being back here 9-10 months ago, and I know the traffic is parking is an issue. At that point, I think it was the old fee was a couple thousand dollars, and a lot of people said only one person, I think, in the last 8 years has paid into that. It got raised to $35,000, and people said that would be a project killer. At that point, now we're coming to you and saying, okay, it's $35,000. We're willing to contribute to that fund.
Okay.
It's a lot of money.
Time is up.
I recommend that you turn down the appeal, and I'd like to track it over to our traffic engineer who will address some of the traffic issues. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Scott Schell, and I'm with Associated Transportation Engineers, and we have prepared a brief letter and submitted it to the council analyzing the traffic issues with the project. Basically, our analysis looked at the traffic generation associated with the existing restaurant building on site and compared that to the traffic that would be generated by the mixed-use project. Our analysis showed that conversion of the restaurant to a mixed-use project with a combination of retail, residential, and office uses wouldn't generate traffic impacts downtown. This was in direct response to one of the appeal items. Our analysis actually showed that in a certain combination, there might be less traffic generation at the site with the mixed-use concept. We've also reviewed the staff report that was prepared on this issue for tonight, and we would concur with the staff findings that the project before you would not generate significant traffic impacts in the downtown area. So that's a brief presentation tonight, and we're all going to be here to answer any questions as they may come up.
Thank you. Okay, I have no other cards. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item? If not, I will call the appellants again. Yes, you want to come? Can you give us your name and your address?
Yes, Madam Mayor and Council Members. My name is Sherry Bryant, and I'm a co-owner of a business downtown. Actually, it's a restaurant. The concern that we have is where you have mixed use, residential along with commercial, and it looks like if you approve this project, then you may have to approve other projects. And what ends up happening, now the garbage company has to come in later. Our purveyors have to park on Pomeroy to deliver, and there's just more complaints. And so there'll be more complaints the more residential that you have in downtown. So we're asking that you don't approve this project. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else that would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, then I'll go back to the appellants.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just want to recap that our request to you tonight is that you uphold the appeal. That you deny the project without prejudice, and that you send it back to the Planning Commission specifying the areas of concern and what you would like to see done about them. I would also further suggest that you direct your staff to prepare the resolution and findings for you and bring it to you at your next meeting, perhaps under your consent agenda, so that there's ample time for someone to give careful consideration to your concerns and make the findings from the general plan and zoning ordinance policies, which won't be difficult to do, and put that in writing for you and bring it back to you. If you have any questions of me, I'd be happy to answer them.
Does any of the council have any questions? Okay.
No, we
don't. Thank you. Is there any other appellants that would like to speak?
Don Day, 101 Park Place, Pismo Beach. I'll be very brief. It's already happened. We're using the Heinz Project as an example of why we should be doing this. The only thing I can say is we screwed up and we missed it. That should have been appealed to. And the fact that staff approved something doesn't necessarily make it right, and I would take exception to what Mr. Russo said. I think my comments were specific as to code sections and to the reasons why I felt that the staff made an inappropriate decision as far as the density. I think they've made a mistake, quite frankly. I don't think a Senate Assembly bill applies. I think it's not five units. I think the city consistently in the past has used a rounding down as opposed to rounding up. And I would ask Randy if he knows of any cases in the past that is contrary to what I just said. My comments to the senior planners and to other people in the planning department was it's never been rounded up. It's always been rounded down. So I think I've done my homework. I think I've been specific to the facts. And quite frankly, I think the staff made a mistake. Honest, but nevertheless I think it was a mistake. I think it was an inappropriate decision, and I think the decisions were made to allow the project to go forward. Again, I don't have problems with the project per se. I think it's a nice job architecturally. It's appealing. I think there are parking issues, and I think that the residential intensity is too large for the downtown core. I would rather see a smaller percentage. And believe me, I'm a person that could take advantage of what we're doing here, and I'm just telling you, in my considered opinion, I think it's the wrong way to go. I think we need to reduce the amount of residential and maximize increase the commercial in order to make this economically viable for the continued success of this community financially. We are one of the few communities that through thick and thin have remained in the black and have not had to go into our reserves, have not had to lay off people in a long time, and I think for whatever reason we've been doing something right, we need to continue to do it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any other of the appellants that would like to speak again?
Bob Dutra again. One short comment. Talking to the applicant about people not showing up. A lot of people just don't like to talk before you. They get nervous and they get scared and they just don't know what to do. So they say, you go. You know, a group of 10 or 12 say, you go. I don't want to do it. I'm too nervous. I get up there and I don't know what to say. So that's a lot of the problem. And he knows that. And it's a ploy. And I understand that. But just so you know that, and I'm sure you do. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any other applicant or appellant that would like to speak to this?
Leonard Ogden, 140 South Dolliver. Just a short statement. Bishop, about having specific rules, regulations, and all that, I agree. I think there was ample shown by some Effie and Don Day. Enough that you can get a clear picture. I also think on the other half, it's important for the citizens and people of Pismo Beach that aren't in the technical end of it to voice their opinion and say what they want the city to look like. And I, as a resident of Pismo Beach, does not want it to look this way. That's all I've got to say.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there any other appellants that would like to speak? Okay, seeing none with that, I'm closing the public hearing and coming back to the council. Is there anything that the staff wants to comment on at this point? I think it would be a good idea for the council if you did. And then I have a question of the city attorney, too.
I think in the recap is that most of the people recognize and the council recognizes that the proposed elevation in the traffic has to go back to the Planning Commission. In relationship to the density, staff took the advice of the state and rounded up. Mr. Day is correct. Traditionally, we've rounded down.
Could you speak a little louder?
Okay.
Thank you.
One of the things in relationship to rounding up, rounding down, that was one of the issues that would be addressed in a local ordinance that we were drafting. But because of the implementation of the state law, that's a guidance we got, and that's the guidance we took. Tonight, the city council can take a look at these issues and has the full purview of approving or denying based on their belief that the building is appropriate for that corner, or if the traffic is too intense. Council has the purview of remanding it back to Planning Commission. If the council so chooses, I would ask that they give direction on some points to help the applicant and the Planning Commission. The City Council can approve this project as it's submitted, and we'd have the continued process. And if the general public didn't like the elevation that, quote-unquote, the Planning Commission would approve or review again, they would have the appeal process to come back to council. So I think that's kind of some parameters that the council has, and I'd be open to any questions, answer any questions you may have.
Okay, more for the purpose of the public. When we're asked to send something back without prejudice, what would that mean?
What that would mean is we'd keep the application active, and we would go back and sit down with the applicant, go over the issues of direction that the council would make, and then the applicant could resubmit, and we'd take it back through the process. The application would stay active.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I would like to ask the city attorney, you apparently came to the conclusion that 435 did apply to this project. And so we need to address that, talk about that.
Well, I did not come to the conclusion that the calculations apply to this project. I was not asked to take a look at that specific issue. What I was asked to look at by the Planning Commission is whether or not the concessions provisions of 435 would apply. In other words, if we don't have an ordinance in place, would the concessions provision apply? That was the specific question I was asked to look at.
That's correct.
So the concessions apply, meaning that you can allow an additional unit if it's affordable housing?
Well, the concessions are different than the density bonus. They're set out in different sections. I think it's 65.915. Concessions are things like setbacks, height variances, and those types of things. The density bonus provisions, where you're actually seeking an increase in the units, is a separate issue from the concessions issue. We currently have, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Bloom can correct me, we have density bonus ordinances. We do not have concessions ordinances. In other words, the second portion that was adopted recently by the state, we have not addressed the concessions, but we do have density.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other questions from the council? Questions, clarifications, discussion? No questions at this point. Okay, let's begin the discussion. Who wants to go first?
That's polite of you. Thank you, Councilmember Ravenel. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Okay, let's see. Where do we start? Well, first thing, I would really like some clear clarification on how the calculation questions will be resolved, because I think there's been enough question today about how that was done. If we can get something in writing, going up, going down, mm-hmm. I think that we need to have staff take that back, bring it to us, bring it to Planning Commission, however the vote ends up this
and we
evening.
Can do that.
That would just, I think, I would feel better. I think the public would feel better. Consistent with our joint meeting last week, I really feel that the applicant does need to demonstrate the feasibility or not the feasibility of subterranean parking. That was a real clear message, I think, that the whole group came with. I want to stay consistent with that, please. Mixed use is an excellent answer to scarce land. And it seems like the big question with this one is the percentage of commercial over residential. I really was hoping we can get to that point where we can get some sort of visual ability to see what these projects are going to look like. I think that would just be critical. But in the meantime, we need to move forward and make decisions. I'm concerned about the in and out of the project, or ingress and egress. I've got to learn these new terms. Looking at the shared driveway with the project just to the south. But if you look at this project, it's kind of landlocked between two one-way streets, and then it's very, very close to that horrendous corner 4 months out of the year where people can turn left or can't turn left. And it's going to be very awkward to get in and out of there, even for a resident. So I would like to see the applicant pursue at least a way in off of Pomeroy. I think that would help. I appreciated Mr. Turton's comments about underparking. In the staff report on page 222, there was some discussion about the ambiguity of what the commercial space could be, and that could potentially change what the required parking would be. And then we're faced again with underparking. And what can go in there that's only going to get, if my understanding is correct, three parking spaces. That would be scary, I think, for a commercial renter. I feel very empathetic to the developers listening to Mr. Grant as he went through the process. At every turn, there was a request by staff, and it sounded like they have answered and tried to make every change that we've come back, or the Planning Commissioner staff has come back. And it's unfortunate that we're still coming back with more, but it's very, very important because I think it's been said over and over, this is a huge corner. And not only this, this is one of our newest developments right downtown, and it will really start to set the stage for what's going on. And I think we have to make the right decisions as a collaboration. It isn't one person's vision. It is all of us. It is the developer. It's the residents. It's the staff. It's the council. It's everybody. So with that said, let me see if I had anything else. Bear with me for a second. And then Mr. Rizzo made a comment about, and with all due respect to you, that holding, I hold Mr. Bloom and Ms. Johnson in the highest regard, and by asking for clarifications on those calculations, I'm not questioning your ability. I just think it would be better if we got something in writing from the state and how that's done. And I think with that, my recommendation would be to review the building height, review the parking, and I would like to send it back to the Planning Commission without prejudice. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you very much. Councilman Rabinow.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. You know, I want to make this perfectly clear, Mr. Rizzo, Mr. Lawhead, everybody involved. This is not personal. This is not personal under any circumstances. You know, I'm a businessman. I own two businesses downtown. I know what it takes. It's the future of our town. You know, you have been coming before the Planning Commission for a year and a half, 2 years. And I've been heavily criticized by some and heavily applauded by others for coming to that Planning Commission meeting. But the only reason that I was there is I didn't know about your project until 8 days before that Planning Commission. I had no city council meeting I could bring it up. I had to go someplace. And it's because of these issues that we're talking about. That's the reason that I went to the Planning Commission that evening. And you know, there's a member out here in the audience, you know, talked to me on the phone one day and just threatened me, you know, collecting dollars. And he started giving me names of people he was going to collect all this big money from and make sure that I become a political nobody in Pismo Beach. Well, so be it, you know, so be it. But I'm assuring you that this isn't personal. The other thing that I'd like to talk about, too, is there's another individual out there that talks about a personal lawsuit. I take it that he's probably going to sue me because of the statement, as like many of his statements, it's not over till it's over. Well, you know, general public, I'm talking to you folks out there. I'm not a wealthy man, and I may need your help in this. If that's what this man intends to do, let him do it. Let him do it, because I am drawing a line in the sand as far as what I think about the future development of Pismo Beach. Now, all that we've got to do is have a plan. That's all I've been asking for 10 years. Ooh, better stop doing that. All that I've asked for 10 years is a plan. You make a plan and you work the plan. We don't have it. Yeah, it's been alluded to that there's a specific plan. There is no specific plan. Don't let anybody try to manipulate any words and tell you that there is. There is none. What we need to do is have many more meetings with the Planning Commission. We need to work towards that specific plan. I'm sorry, I disagree. That was the worst workshop I have ever attended in my life, last week or whenever it was. Nothing was accomplished. Randy gave us two things that he think was accomplished there. Number one, we ought to take a look at underground parking. Yeah. And I forget what the second one was now. But that was the most ridiculous workshop I've ever seen. What we need to do is come together. You know, back in 1998, I helped write the general plan. I was on the council way back then. You know, and we worked with the Planning Commission weekly. We had weekly meetings putting this thing together. We need to have weekly meetings so that Mr. Rizzo's fear does not come true that everything is going to be 10 years down the road and there's going to be a building moratorium. I don't want that more than anybody else wants that. All that I want is a plan and work that plan. I'm not going to support the project. I am going to uphold the appeal without prejudice. What I would like to see, however, is that there be no adoption of this plan through the Planning Commission or anybody else until there is a specific plan in place and with leadership on this council, Madam Mayor, as I believe that you can do, we will start scheduling these meetings immediately and we will begin now what need be done. We don't need to wait for no parking study. Parking is a huge component, yes, but there are many other issues that need to be discussed right alongside of parking. We wait until the end of August for parking, and then we'll wait for the end of December for something else. And no. I'm ready. I'm asking the mayor now, will you schedule a workshop? And please allow us to get on with business, and let's not keep the people that are looking to do business within our community that have no direction, because we have no direction. Madam Mayor, I thank you for the time.
Thank you very much. I think that I am agreeing that there are a couple of issues that have to go back to the Planning Commission anyway on this project. One was the driveways, and I think the other... There's one other one, and I guess I've lost track. I have so many notes here. So the one thing that I really liked was the idea of having an affordable housing in that project. I think if we could actually furnish an affordable home at $250,000 to $300,000, we would be achieving something. And I think there is an effort that we have to make in this community to provide affordable housing. So that's the one really thing, the big thing that I'd hate to lose in this project. I think that as a result of that last meeting that we had, the workshop, we determined that we were concerned about how much commercial that we are going to have in that central core. So I think that's another reason maybe why we have to hold up on this project and send it back to the Planning Commission to review. And then the other thing that we talked about, and as Councilwoman Higginbotham said, is the undergrounding or the subterranean parking. I think those two things in itself are good reason to send it back. And I think I would be in favor of sending it back without prejudice and upholding this appeal at this point. And for you to prepare something by the things that we've told you at this point to bring back the necessary paperwork to do that. And if that's a consensus of the
Madam Mayor, if I may, please.
Yes.
No, not at all. It's not. And I'll tell you the reason being, though, and Randy has said it now a couple of times to us. He says, you give clear direction to the Planning Commission when you send this back to them. So far, you have given them only a couple of things, underground parking and the ratio of those types of things. You know, look at the community that was here at that joint workshop. They only got 3 minutes to speak. There is so much that the community can offer us through the building of a specific plan that the three of us are not going to sit here and be able to give Randy direction, because whatever we give them direction, these three or four things, they're going to take it back to the Planning Commission, they're going to address those three or four things, and then it's back again. That's not what needs to be done. We need a plan for the downtown, and if we get to work on it, we can have it done within 3 or 4 months. If we just work at it. I don't want to work at it because it's easy. I want to work at it because it's hard. It needs to be done. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think there was more than two or three things that came out of this discussion this evening. Mm-hmm. I think that Councilwoman Higginbotham gave some things. I just picked up on a couple of things that I had concerns on. Mm-hmm. But I agree with many of the things that were mm-hmm. spoken about.
Well, so I wasn't being critical.
No, but what I'm saying is that I think it needs to go back to the Planning Commission. Okay? And, I mean, are you in favor of that?
Yes, I am.
So that's what I'm trying to get to at this point, is to do what we're supposed to do here on an appeal.
Yeah, I am. But the other part of that is the creation of the specific plan so that the Planning Commission isn't going ahead with these four then suggestions and then looking for approval. I'm saying, yes, it has to go back to the Planning Commission. It's got to go anyway. But on top of that, there will be no decision made until a specific plan is in place.
Thank you very much. I think we agreed that we wanted to head toward a specific plan. I think a big part of that is the parking.
That's correct. May I add maybe some assistance? Is that I've been taking notes of all the city council's concerns and everything, and I seem to be getting a direction that I'd bring back a resolution with those recommendations in. When I bring it back, if I missed a point, I think we could add that at that point.
Yeah, but we need the public interaction in order to think of them all. The public is just as smart as we are. We are nothing more than public.
But
you know?
I think we have to, this evening, talk about the appeal and process this appeal or not, and either uphold it or not uphold it and make that decision this evening. And
well,
if there are some things that we want to agendize later, the city attorney appears it to me he wants to say something, so let him say something.
I'm thinking how to say it. This is a quasi-adjudicatory hearing. You need to make a ruling. If you're going to send it back to the Planning Commission, you can certainly do that with direction. But if you're going to give the direction that the Planning Commission not consider further projects either on this property or in the downtown area without a specific plan, then my recommendation would be for you to bring that issue back separately at a future council meeting for consideration of a moratorium ordinance, because that's what you're talking about, is basically preventing any kind of development until the specific plan.
Okay.
I think at least with respect to this project, you certainly can contemplate that, but that's something a little bit beyond what I think the appropriate findings would be for essentially denying the project without prejudice.
Thank you for that clarification.
I agree completely.
Okay, so I will entertain a motion.
I would make a motion to uphold the appeal, send it back to the Planning Commission without prejudice, and do you want to include specifically those things?
I think we will direct staff to the resolution.
And including Randy's notes.
And I would ask that you add to that staff be directed to bring back a resolution at your next council meeting setting forth the findings necessary for
denial.
Upholding the
appeal, yes.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and second to uphold the appeal, send it back to the Planning Commission without prejudice, and direct staff to prepare the resolution that will substantiate the reasons why.
Yeah. Good.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 3-0-2. Thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Could you please take a little break?
Yeah. We will take a short break, about a 3-minute break, and come back for the last item on our agenda. The next item, please, Mr. City Manager.
Okay, Madam Mayor and Council, the first and only business item for tonight is the Fire Department's quarterly report. Our Fire Chief, Mike Harkness, is here to give that. The last time when we did this, I guess about 3.5-4 months ago, Mike covered a lot of territory. I asked him this time to sort of focus it in on three areas in particular I thought you'd be interested in. Paid call and reserve firefighter program, what's the status of that? I know there's interest by the council on that. Lifeguards and junior lifeguards, of course, because it's summer. I thought that would be of interest to both you all and the public. And then and training. So with that, I'd like to ask our Fire Chief, Mike Harkness, to give the briefing.
Chief Harkness?
Mike.
Thank you.
Last time I did this, I went through each subject group and then stopped and took questions. Would you like to use that same format, Madam Mayor? Okay, so our first...
Yes, I'm sorry.
That's
what
quite
did
all right.
You say?
Would you like me to use the same format as last time where I go through a subject group and stop and take questions if you have any?
Please.
Okay.
Thank you.
The first item is our paid call firefighter program. And Laura, the slide's not up, but I imagine it will come up when they change. Yeah, I did that. So there it is on the screen now. Thank you. This is a photo of the firefighter testing we did in late April. We had 18 applicants that showed up for the testing, 17 of whom passed the physical. The physical is about a four-hour endeavor to get all the candidates through it. There's ladder raises, there's hose carries, there's aerobic drills, some strength tests, hose drags, and so 17 folks passed the physical that then went on to interviews that afternoon. We had three interview panels set up with Deb Garcia supervising our interview panel, and 13 candidates passed our interviews. We offered 9 of those 13 positions. One during the time period took a job with another department, so we ended up with 8 new firefighters, and we still have 4 remaining on the list if we want to do another hiring in that list to last for 6 months. So that currently puts us at 17 reserves, 9 that we had on the roster already, and 8 new folks. And we've already initiated our training. They've been through background. They've been through the required city physical test. And we've already had them through a first drill session about 10 days ago. So they're already on their way. This year we had a number of reserves hire to permanent or part-time positions with other fire departments. 4 of our reserves hire to outside agencies in the last year, some of them within the county, some of them outside of the county, and 3 reserves were hired into CDF locally this year. I like to see that because that keeps our talent local, and in some cases those folks that went from our reserve program to CDF firefighter positions were assigned to Shell Beach Station. 2 of our former reserves, Frank Paz and Derek McTiernan, both were assigned to Shell Beach Station as firefighters. So not only did they get a CDF position, but then the city got to take advantage of their knowledge of the city as well and in the CDF positions. Frank Paz has since been hired by CDF as an apparatus engineer, so that's a huge promotion for Frank. We're really proud of him, and he's at the academy right now for 6 weeks. And then Katie Casari was hired this season. This will be her second season as a CDF firefighter, so we're proud of all those folks. So that's a very quick synopsis of where we're at with our training program and staff numbers. There's a bar graph in your package, and that shows 17 on staff, which is very consistent with what we've had over the last 5 years.
Okay. Is there any questions? Okay. Thank you.
Laurie, your technology's not working for me here.
What?
I need to go to the next slide. There we go. Operator error. Okay, the next group is training, and what I've got on the slide here is a group of our firefighters doing some surf rescue training. PISMO is served by the CDF training staff, which consists of a training battalion chief, a paramedic coordinator, 2 fire captain trainers, and 2 administrative assistants. That is the staff that then supervises all the field personnel that do additional training, which includes for our full-time staff a 40-hour full-week company officer skills recertification where they go through a 40-hour state fire marshal class that includes all of the mandatory updates that they need for the year for hazardous material operations, EMT recertification, CPR classes, sudden infant death, just all the different certifications that we need. And then we did 2 days of firefighter rescue training in that week as well that was coordinated by one of our engineers here in PISMO, Chad Fleming, who is kind of the area expert on rapid intervention training for firefighters. So they did 2 full days of drills. All of our firefighters in the counties, our company officers, did 2 full days of drills on how to rescue fallen firefighters. We offer state fire marshal certified training to our full-time folks, and that also includes certified cliff rescue, surf rescue, and swift water courses that are taught twice a year within the county. In addition to that, locally, we're doing monthly training classes as a minimum to our full-time staff, and that's in one of three subjects, either cliff, surf, or high-rise rescue refreshers, and those are taught here locally. That's our full-time staff. Our reserve staff receives weekly training. Tonight's a drill. I'll be going to see how they're doing tonight once the meeting's over. Their one-year training program meets the California State Fire Marshal Firefighter Standards, so they come out of their one-year training program with us after their rookie firefighter shift as State Fire Marshal Firefighter 1s, and they'll also be included in our multi-agency training. This is a slide of a South County disaster drill we did 2 weeks ago on May 20th. The drill was a large fire burning through homes in the Avila Valley. We had 15 engine companies from throughout San Luis Obispo County, which included participation from a number of the five cities' fire departments. This is one type of multi-agency training we do. In addition to that, myself and the chiefs from Arroyo Grande and Grover Fire and Oceano Fire met on May 22nd to develop a multi-agency drill schedule. We've agreed to quarterly drills, so once every 3 months we'll put all of our full-time staff together and we'll do a multi-agency drill, and then that will rotate each drill between the fire departments. We'll each host one. I volunteered to host the first drill, and we're going to do a structure fire training burn. It's scheduled for July 22nd and 23rd. The CDF County Fire Department Training Division has a large, it's a 40-foot box semi-trailer that's towed behind one of our tractor trailers, and it's a propane prop with a computer-controlled console with a safety officer that actually stands in the booth, and we can do a number of different drills, from flashover drills to rescue drills to drills where we open up windows, doors, change the configuration, rescue people, and ventilate the building. All of it done with propane, and the instructor has the ability to modify the fire as the firefighters make entry, so it's very realistic. They feel the heat. They put water on the flame. It goes out, but it's extremely safe, and it's non-polluting because it's a propane drill. So we'll bring that trailer down, and we'll do that on July 22nd, 23rd with full-time staff from those four departments. That's my training update. The lifeguard season started last weekend. We staffed two towers and the truck. Next, one of the days of the weekend, the weather was real nice, and we started to see a fair amount of people down by on the north end of the beach by Tower 4. So we staffed three towers and the truck one day of the weekend. And we'll be ramping up our staffing as school lets out, and as we have more and more lifeguards that are finishing up their schooling, so we have more employees available to us. But we've already staffed every day, including Memorial Day weekend, and with a minimum of two towers in the lifeguard truck. We'll have 22 lifeguards on staff this year. That's both for tower and truck guarding and for junior lifeguard instructors. Some do nothing but work the beach. Some do nothing but work junior lifeguards, and many of them do both. And I'll talk about the junior lifeguard program in just a moment. So that 22 lifeguards is 12 returning and 10 new, and that's a combination of both programs. We taught a United Life Saving Association Academy over 6 days in May. This was a cooperative effort between Pismo Beach, Morro Bay, Avila Beach, and the county lifeguards. Pismo Beach hosts that class. We're USLA certified to teach that class, so we sponsor the class, but we have instructors and students from all the agencies. We see a lot of benefit from training with our neighboring lifeguard agencies. Every beach is a little bit different. It allows us to exchange ideas and programs and operational issues. Some have boats. Some have towers. Everybody's set up a little different, so there's a lot of sharing of information and wealth there. So I'm really pleased with Captain Howard's administration of that academy this year, and he got a lot of cooperating agencies together, and everybody participated, so that was great. We're budgeted Memorial Day to Labor Day. And then we also have staffing that we occasionally put on outside budgeted time periods, spring break and busy weekends. Spring break this year was we had a very late rainfall season. We had a lot of cold weather and rain during most of the spring break. We took a look at the crowds. We took a look at the weather. We elected not to staff the beach during that time period. We have in the past. However, we did have two large wave events through February and March. And it drew a lot of surfers to the beach. So during those two events, both of them, which were 2 days, We took firefighters that were lifeguards trained and put them in the rescue truck and patrolled with extra staff during those large wave events. And we have a tower replacement schedule and depreciation schedule. One of our towers is getting pretty old and tired. It's Tower 4, which is on the north end of the beach. We've got, during this next fiscal year, we'll have about $10,000 in that account. So during, not the upcoming fiscal year, but this time next year, we'll probably be asking for another tower replacement. We'll have the funds in place to do that through a depreciation account. Junior lifeguard program, we had three swim tests. The first was for returning junior guards, so we did that at Cincharmer Pool. We allowed all of our returning junior guards to have their own swim test because it's not quite as crazy, and it's just sort of a benefit for the returning junior guards. And then we had two additional swim tests, one on a Saturday and a final makeup on a Wednesday night. The junior lifeguard program is a six-week program. It begins June 26th. We've got about 120 attendees this year, 70 returnees, and 50 new kids. We advertised in all the area schools, put flyers in the classrooms, and then if requested, we'd actually do a presentation on what the program's about. And our emphasis in the junior lifeguard program is on beach safety with some regional competitions. But primarily what we're doing is starting with age groups from 10 to 12, teaching them water safety and beach safety. As they progress through the program, they get more and more involved in learning how to rescue, more involved in the competitions, and many of our current lifeguards are folks that came up through our junior lifeguard program, so we're able to take advantage of the knowledge that they've gained here on the beach. The junior lifeguard program is revenue neutral, which means that any revenues we bring in should match up the costs. We've kept track of that the last few years with finance, and I believe we're pretty spot on. So that's not a subsidized program. It's a revenue-neutral program. And this is the slide of our first swim test, which was about 3 weeks ago at Cincharmer Pool. That's our lifeguard program.
Okay. Is there any questions on that portion of the report? Okay.
All of my children are very excited this
year. Outstanding. Happy to have them. I have two quick add-ons to the agenda, and these are both just information items. One of the pictures that I put on your package is an addition to the pictures that were in your council package, and this is the Bomberos program, and I wanted to show you the recipients of the breathing apparatus that you generously sure. donated last month. This is the Todos Santos Fire Department, which is directly across Baja from La Paz. It's a region somewhat like our counties where there are three fire stations, which includes Todos Santos and it also includes La Paz. This area has sort of been adopted by San Luis County firefighters. Captain Jerry James with the San Luis City Fire Department has spearheaded this effort, and a lot of the communities have hopped on. San Luis City has City Council donated a used fire engine that is heading down in 2 weeks to Todos Santos. All of our breathing apparatus, some old hose, some old safety gear, old uniforms from our department and from many other departments throughout the county will be loaded on that fire engine. So when it shows up in the regional area down there, it's just going to be stuffed to the gills with fire equipment mm-hmm. that they can use. The volunteer fire departments down there are strictly volunteer. They have no operating funds for fuel. They can't buy any fire equipment. They're all completely non-paid, and they're extremely dedicated, very humble, very proud group of firefighters. I had the opportunity to visit them last time we donated some equipment was when I was successful in asking Avila Beach District to donate some breathing apparatus as well. And I went down 2 years ago with then Fire Chief Bob Newman, and they just gave us the hero's welcome down there. It was really special and a really wonderful bunch. So all of that equipment, even though we can't legally use it in the state of California anymore, it still had some serviceable life left in it, and they'll take full advantage of it down there. So thank you for Todos Santos and the Bomberos program. I'll just hop right into grants real quick, unless you have questions about the Bomberos program.
That's fine. Go right
okay. ahead. We've got $75,000 that we received in March. It's been deposited in city accounts. This was from a federal grant, a 90-10 split fund that we applied for last year and was approved. And so far we have purchased, with that grant, two emergency generators, one for the Shell Beach Fire Station, one for the Pismo Station, a safety equipment decontamination unit. That's a sort of a washer extractor unit. It's a commercial grade takes all of the hazardous materials, biomeds, all that stuff out of our turnouts and safety gear. And that's for the Shell Beach Station. And then two traffic calming signals for the Shell Beach Fire Station, and that's what this picture is. That's the signal right there as you're looking to the south towards the Shell Beach Fire Station. It's a solar panel, battery-charged, solar panel charging a battery with a fire station, fire engine sign, and then a flashing yellow light. They hit a little button, a remote on the dash of the engine as they go out the door, and it turns on safety warning lights at both ends of the exit. So we use those normally when we're exiting onto the road. In case of an emergency, we wouldn't use that for routine traffic. So it's not a stop sign. It's a traffic calming device. Mm-hmm. The light only flashes when the engines are pulling out, going code 3 to an emergency. So this was one of the items that was funded through the grant, in addition to the decontamination unit, emergency generators. And so that's a $75,000 pure savings to the city for those items. That's my report for this evening. I kept it brief. I know you've had a long night.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
I have one. Thank you. Okay. The first two items that we received under this grant, the two generators and the fire safety equipment decontamination unit, is that technically owned by CDF or technically owned by the City of Pismo Beach?
It's owned by the City of Pismo Beach, and we made the grant request in the City of Pismo Beach's name.
Thank you.
You bet.
Okay, thank you very much.
Are there any items you'd like to instruct me to report back 3 months from now?
Well, I think that we want to hear about all those items again, unless there's anything in addition that you thought that you wanted him to add.
Some of it's TMI. You know, I mean, for me, maybe not for everybody else, but you know, I'd like to know the numbers of the reserves and make sure that it's, you know, but I don't need to know Sally Joe was promoted to, only because these meetings get so darn long and they get contentious sometimes, and I'm sweating like crazy. So it's purely selfish.
Very good. If there's any items you'd like to have included in the next report, if you'd pass those on to the city manager, I'd be happy to.
What I'll do is, in my discussions with you all, when we have these individual discussions, you know, as certain things, you know, you all mentioned to me certain things that you have, you know, real concern about or interest in, and I make sure that Mike briefs on those things. So we'll keep working
very good.
It that
Thank
way.
Thank you.
Seems to be working, I guess.
Mm. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
If you don't think it's working, tell me.
Okay. Okay, the next item on our agenda is the city manager's report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to mention two items. AIDS life cyclists will be going through a town tomorrow. The heaviest time for those cyclists, this is an annual thing that goes on, the heaviest time will be from about 12 noon to 3 p.m., and as a result of that, going southbound on Dolliver, there'll be no parking signs posted on going southbound on Dolliver. Obviously for the cyclists. The second item, I have commenced, Joe Cortez and I have commenced the half-cent sales tax ballot measure briefings to the citizens. So far we've hit three of the mobile home parks. Went pretty well, a lot of good questions, pretty receptive from the people I talked to. Anyway, I will give as I meet with each of you over the next you know, few weeks, I'll give you more of a real rundown on those. I am also scheduled, I think, in a week and a half, to go and brief the Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors. And you know, I think it's the same morning that one of you all are laid on to brief. But anyway, briefings are going pretty good so far. I got a lot more to go, but they've started.
I'd like to ask him a question on that, if I may.
Yes.
Just quickly. The more I'm learning about this and the more I'm studying it in other cities, what other cities are doing, I'm not nearly as much in favor of a simple majority as I was before.
Right.
I'm very supportive of a two-thirds majority so that we can take specifically and do these funds, and I'm not in favor of a sunset clause because we could make some real capital improvements long term through bonding issues and everything if they know that the funds aren't going to expire or may expire and then they're not renewed. So are you giving all of the options to the people?
I am, and in fact, yes, sir, I am. In fact, they asked me about that. So yes. giving them all of the various options and lots of good questions from the people. So, yeah, they're getting it all. And by the way, I also tell them at the end of these briefings, Joe and I tell them, look, if you think this is a waste of time and we don't need to do it, tell us that. Each of them get a little survey form, and they're supposed to list priorities, send them back to us, and then in July I will consolidate all those, and you all will get copies of all those to read through, so you'll know what the citizens are saying and what they're saying are or are not their priorities.
Help us make a good decision.
Right. Mm-hmm. And by the way, also, Chief Cortez and I are scheduled on the second meeting in July to come before you and give you the briefing that we've been giving, and at that time also we'll give you a lot of that feedback that we've heard over that intervening 6 weeks. So that's all I have.
Thank you very much. City Attorney's report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I only have one thing. I just wanted to let you know yesterday I received a request for dismissal from the Tribune newspaper in the Denny's case. They went ahead and signed it and filed it, so they're out of the litigation. I did speak with Terry Bridges, who's the attorney for Denny's, and it's his inclination at this point to try to get it expedited to the court to get a final decision now that we don't have those issues, and we don't think much, if any, additional briefing is going to be necessary. He and I see pretty well eye to eye on the issue, whether it's a public record, and I think that we can probably address that to the court pretty quickly. So that's favorable, greatly simplifies the case. I don't have anything other than that specifically. I thought it might be useful on occasion that if any of the council members have any status updates or questions on a legal basis that are not otherwise agendized, I could probably answer those during the city attorney's report. So if you have any of those in the future, if you don't get a hold of me before the meeting, either by email or phone, I'll be happy to answer those to the extent I can at the meeting.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, the next item is council subcommittee reports. Does anyone have anything?
Madam Mayor, if I may.
Okay.
The Economic Vitality Corporation.
Yes.
I have been very negligent in attending those meetings, and I got a call from Mike Manchek yesterday. And he said, Bill, it's becoming quite obvious. I'm as vocal there as I am here, so... But I can't attend those. I just, my plate is it runneth over.
Okay.
And
thank
I don't
you.
Know
I was
going
to ask you
yeah,
if we could just give it to someone else. And
yeah,
I
just
do that.
So if there's anybody that's interested as mayor, you might want to coordinate that.
Okay.
Because I just can't.
Thank you. I wanted to talk to you about it. Thank you very much.
And then the only other thing that I have is I have asked Kevin Rice, and he will agendize next meeting the possibility of a building moratorium for downtown until a specific plan is developed. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any other council subcommittee reports?
Thank you. I attended the South County Youth Authority meeting, but I won't go into that because due to the lateness of the hour. Conference and Visitors Bureau. A lot of excitement about the California Welcome Center. That's going to be just a terrific thing for Pismo Beach. And I believe I mentioned last time there'll be signage, 3 signs northbound, 3 signs southbound, directing all of these people into Pismo Beach. So we'll keep you posted on that. And Pismo Beach has a newly designed rack card that go into for all sorts of advertising. And so I have a copy to share with everybody, and it's very nice. So that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I have, do you have anything, Councilman Mapp?
Totally. No, just not one of the activities for the city, but the Board of Directors is going to have a very urgent Board of Directors meeting by phone on Monday, coming Monday, 1:30 until 3:30, regarding the communications problem that is going to hit us. And it's going to be very, very critical. And I'll report back after I get all the inputs as to what transpired.
Okay, thank you. They did ask us to do some writing to our people. Hopefully everybody else did. I did. Okay. Is there anything else that any other subcommittee reports? I just have a big SLOCOG meeting tomorrow, so we'll see if there's anything new to report after that. Can't think of anything else. We have one pulled consent agenda item, and that's 4C, I believe. foresee? And
yeah, I asked to pull that off because there's a lot of items here that we'd have to go through and really read them because they go way back to 2003. And I thought that the amount of time that we had to try to go through them, especially those of us that are involved in those meetings, that we need a little more time to look at these things instead of just, I didn't want to just go ahead and approve everything this evening without looking at each one individually.
Yeah, I think that's probably an excellent idea. Actually, I spent a lot of time reading through these things and word by word. And, of course, I wasn't here for part of the time. And
yeah.
So maybe the best thing to do would be for all of you to take time and read them. And mm-hmm. if you have changes that you think need to be made, that we don't have something quite right, right. I'll make those changes in red,
mm-hmm.
bring them back forward again so you can see where those changes were made. But does that sound like a decent solution?
Yeah. I think it is.
I think it is. The only thing, our packet says that Mayor Pro Tem Marianne Reese should be signing these, and it's my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that it should be the present mayor. They're being approved now under this mayorship. That's number one. And number two, I don't think it would be a terrible idea to invite the ex-mayor or former mayor, Crescione, not for him to vote on it in any way, but should he have some objection or might remember something. That way we're going in the in a positive direction, because these are old, and
I agree.
We are all old to remember this.
I agree. So. Dave, did you have a comment?
Yeah, you're correct. It's the present mayor that would sign this. I mentioned that, and it looks like an oversight in catching that, so we'll have that corrected. But it's being approved by this entity as
Good.
The minutes of this entity.
Okay. And then if I wasn't at one of those meetings, when I've gone to any other council meetings from other cities, if that council person did not attend that meeting, they stepped down or at least didn't vote, because how can you approve a minutes that you didn't attend? So could you address that? Please?
There is a way that you could approve the minutes if you didn't attend, if you take steps to educate yourself what happened. You could watch the video, listen to the tape on that type of situation. So it's possible. Whether you want to do that is another matter.
Well, you know, this, I don't think there's tapes on this, because some of these were closed sessions, so there's not tapes on those, and so I think if you didn't attend it, you have no way of knowing and be able to approve the minutes, and I think the minutes are very, very pertinent, so I think we have to be real careful there.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
And I don't want to be critical in public, but I hope whatever was wrong has been fixed. The second thing, because I've looked at some things, and I'm having a hard time remembering the story. I heard what others said, but that problem has got to be fixed. In 2003, I'm not going to belabor it.
Yeah,
not going to belabor it.
I agree.
All right. The only other thing that I'd like to say is that is there a way that we can use our video presentation as the minutes and introduce action minutes? I'm doing that on Zone 3. I've introduced it. And it's working out very, very well.
Okay, and I had one thing, too. You saying that, Councilmember Rabinault, I had spoken with the city clerk, and there are one or two more meetings that were very lengthy that she hasn't included. So maybe those can be included when these come back so we put this all behind us all at once, hopefully.
May I address council? The minutes have been changed to state the mayor. That was a mistake. I had caught that and put the mayor to sign all the minutes. And in the minutes that you have before you, there's only two meetings that had action. The rest of the closed session were no action reports.
Okay.
And I do have the tapes of all the meetings. As you can see, they're kind of verbatim. But we on October 21st, 2003, council did approve action minutes only.
Yeah,
you did.
That. Yeah.
And I have it right here in front of me.
Yeah.
But we're going a little more detailed. We do have the tape still. We have the CDs on file. And Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez, G, and myself talked several times about DVDs as minutes. And there are a few cities doing that, but the city attorney may have some other direction where, you know, I don't know if
you can't make it any clearer than that than a DVD.
It's an interesting. I mean, the technology has caught up to the point where that may be effective. The only drawback that I could see really is how quickly it would be accessed. Say, for example, you don't have indexing on the DVD, and you wanted to go through and you wanted to see what was said on agenda item 6C. And if you didn't have them indexed in some manner, it might be kind of cumbersome to go through, where you can just kind of page through on the written.
It still would be less time consuming than the time she spent, the city clerk is spending presently.
DVDs can be indexed if you have that system, mm-hmm. and then you just title them. Yeah. And right now, your MP3 player that we have new is online, and so you can go and click on just an item and listen to yourselves speaking.
So you see, there you go.
I like having the written minutes actually myself, but
like listening to books.
Yeah, well, I do too, actually. Yeah, I do. I like that too.
Well, Madam Mayor and Councilor,
I know she was going to correct that and put there, you know, indicate that the mayor was signing them, because I caught that too. I did catch a few as I was going through it. Some few mistakes, and I did point them out to her, but I think it's good that we give her some time to do that.
Well,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
See, she gives you action minutes. The detail is in the DVD, but the action minutes. If I could, why don't we do this? We'll bring that proposed solution with some other options back to you all, and you all can make the decision how you want it done in the future. But in the meantime, We'll go back. We'll finish all these up.
Okay.
We'll get comments from you all if you've seen things that are incorrect in them. We will incorporate the last two work study sessions that she's currently typing up. And so when we bring them all back to you, you'll have all of that and be able to prove it and be done with it. And yes, this won't happen again.
Oh, good, because if you bring them back, then it's over. Too finny. It's finished.
Right. And at this time, I would like to apologize to council that I take full responsibility for those not being done and completed. They, like I said, all except two, there's no action to them. And when we approved October 21st action minutes, there was no action. Those were posted for council to attend closed session meetings at that time. So I just went back to put no action was taken.
Okay. So everybody's satisfied with the results that they will come back?
Absolutely. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
And I would also like that the former mayor be hearing only if he has objections. You know, not particularly.
Yes, ma'am. We'll make sure that he gets them and can see them in advance, and then he is invited in the evening.
Okay. Great.
Okay. Thank you very much. There's no further business. We are hereby adjourned.